Good morning. Good morning, everyone. If you're in chambers or watching online, you have joined us for the Finance and Economic Resiliency Committee, and we're happy to see almost everybody here, right? We've got Commissioner Fernandez and Commissioner Arreola as members, and we're talking about the budget today, so it's great that we have full participation. So with that, would you let everybody know how they could join if they wish, Mr. Attorney?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. So today's meeting has been scheduled in a hybrid format with a quorum of the committee and the members of the commission physically present, and remaining members, staff, and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually by Zoom. In order to participate in today's meeting virtually, members of the public may dial 1-888-475-4499 and enter the webinar ID, which is 863-6059-5462#. Or you can log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which again is 863-6059-5462. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if you're using the Zoom app, or dial *9 if participating by phone.
Thank you so much. And if you wish to speak, the chair will entertain that. However, this is not a public hearing, but there may be some things that we need to invite people to discuss with us. And we're going to do this in sections. The last budget meeting we had was related to capital. We've got some additional information on that, so we're going to quickly get an update on that. And then the primary focus of this meeting is on the operating budget. This is what we plan to be our third and last before we leave for our summer break and allow staff to finish the budget and put a nice bow on it, and then we'll be coming back for two votes in September for this budget to be implemented October 1st. And with that, Mr. CFO, Madam Manager, do you wish to say anything?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the recognition. I just want to take the opportunity to thank you and thank all of you for your commitment to this process. It's obviously very helpful to us. There have been some significant changes in terms of revenues that we'll highlight for you since our June 29th meeting. We received our certified tax roll with, again, good news. And we are revising our projections on the tourist tax revenues. On that front, unfortunately, not such good news. But we are prepared today to brief you on all of that and then talk through our enhancement recommendations. I think all of you know and understand the difficulty of that balancing act and prioritizing things that you've prioritized to us and that our department directors have prioritized. So Jason and Tamika and the entire staff, all of our directors have been extraordinarily engaged, and I want to, before we reach the end of the afternoon or the morning, thank them, because this takes a lot of commitment, a lot of detail, and we certainly appreciate the time that you have dedicated to this process. Thank you.
And I too want to thank them, because this is my second year to chair finance and chair the budget, and you all have made my job very easy, to be honest with you. So with that, I'd like to recognize the mayor if he'd like to say a few words.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you and the committee. For the residents who are watching, while most of the commissioners come to these meetings, it's actually a finance committee meeting, and Commissioner Richardson is the chair of the finance committee. You're with Commissioner Arreola, and your third member is Commissioner Fernandez. And he's the vice chair. So people don't realize that we have a lot of meetings about a lot of different things as the commission. Some of the issues we deal with might seem important in a moment and might not later feel that important. But the finance committee has the one job we have to do, which is put together a budget that's balanced for the city, that reflects the priorities of our residents, and that comes in a timely and thoughtful way. And I will say that I've been really impressed. Appointing you chair of this committee, I think, was a good move by me. But more importantly, it was good for our residents, because I really appreciate what the committee and you have done, making this a really thoughtful, easy process. I say that before the end of it, so maybe I jinxed it. But no, but I mean it. It takes a lot of hard work. You have to sweat the details of a lot of different numbers and a lot of competing priorities, including so many people who care deeply about what we fund. And I just wanted to thank you personally for all your efforts.
Thank you, Mayor. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take this in sections, and then members, I'll just ask that, and even though this is a FERC meeting, we're all here and we're all going to participate equally. And I've said that it's important that we all have things in the budget that we can point to and be proud of. So with that, I'll recognize you, Mr. CFO, to take us through the first piece of this, and that's an update on the capital budget.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Actually, Tamika is going to get us started.
So good morning.
Good morning. All right. So if you could put up the slides, please. Okay, so if you go to the next slide. So as Commissioner Richardson said, this is an update to the capital budget. We did go through in details. So the slides that you're going to see now are just explaining what changed since the June meeting. So we did recommend transferring $13 million from the FY22 and 23 year-end surpluses projected. And that remains the same. As the city manager mentioned, our resort tax revenues have been trending slightly lower than last year. And so we went back and refined our projections. So based on that refinement, we reduced our projected 23 revenues by $860,000. So our recommendation is, instead of changing what we recommended for the capital projects in June, we are recommending that we take some of the surplus from the FY24 budget in order to just make the capital fund whole.
Next slide.
So updates on projects. So some of these projects were recommended at the June meeting. This is one, the Monument Island Restoration Project. It was on the list in June. It was not recommended for funding. And I want to stick a pin here. There are a couple items that we're recommending. You will see we're proposing a balanced budget. So there are a couple items that we're recommending that if the commission wanted to make some changes to our recommendation, that you could look at to say, well, maybe we could reduce funding somewhere in order to fund the new ask. So this project, we could fund $250,000 this year in order to just get the permits and do some studies, and then next year fund the difference. But at this point, we have the 1.1 built in as recommended for funding. Next.
So let me just ask a question on that. I guess this is a two-year project?
At least.
So first year would just be to do the design.
So and how much is the design work?
$250,000.
And the balance of this 1.1 is the build?
Yes. Okay. Construction.
All right, go ahead. Thank you.
Next slide.
Yes.
So you're putting a pin in that, I'm assuming.
I am. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through everything, and then we'll come back and talk about everything and see where we land, and certainly want everyone to participate.
Will you, on behalf of those of us who are not the chair, will you continue to put the pin in things for us as we go through it, so
yes,
we don't have to worry about that?
Yes.
Thank you.
I will.
Okay. All right. So we did, at the June meeting, recommend setting aside $2.6 million of transportation dollars for a grant for the electrification of the trolleys. We did receive notice from the federal government that we were not selected for the grant. So our recommendation is to remove that funding. It will go back to the transportation fund. We are working on other grant opportunities. If we do receive another, grant, we will refund this project. So this is a project to pedestrianize the right-of-way improvements at the intersection of 23rd and Liberty Avenue. We did recommend $784,000 at the June meeting. Since then, the 30% bids have come in. There's actually a need for a total of $2 million. So what we're recommending is increasing our funding, and this is actually going to be funded from old RDA dollars that are available, as well as transportation dollars. So this does not impact the general fund or PAYGO dollars. The 42nd Street Garage generator, that was actually recommended at the June meeting. But subsequently, we actually did a budget amendment in June because this generator was needed earlier. So it's already funded, so we're just taking it off the five-year plan. Next slide. Right, on to the new projects.
Okay. So these are a few of the newer projects that were not originally in our CIP, but they are on the administration's recommended list. The major one here is $4 million towards the 100 block of Lincoln Road, which was discussed extensively at the last meeting. So we are recommending using $3 million of the 2024 general surplus to fund that, and the $1 million split between the two utilities. The last of the new projects that's not currently in our CIP is a $2 million set aside in the Convention Center Fund related to the installation of the Enzo Gallo mural, and that is not currently on the recommended list. I do know that the administration is working with the commissioner who had interest in this to find a landing place for this, and I think when that is the appropriate time, that would return for the commission for discussion. Now we're going to flow into the operating. We'll take a pause.
Let's spend a few minutes just talking through so that we're all together on this. Here's a question on the South Beach Trolley Transit. So that's slide 6. We didn't get a grant that we applied for, but I think you said that we're looking for other opportunities, right?
That's correct.
And would that be in this fiscal year?
We're currently looking, yes. So, well, we're looking now. When we come back from the recess, it will be September. So if we need to, we could include it in the 24 budget that we're going to adopt in September. And I think that would be timely.
So my concern is that, let's say we get a different grant, right? We didn't get this one in, so we've taken this out. But then we get another grant, and then we're going to have a match, and then we'll be short, right? Now, because we'd have to put the money back in?
We would have to appropriate the dollars. But the dollars are available. They're just sitting in fund balance.
Exactly.
Okay, so they're available in a fund. Is that the transportation fund?
It's a transportation trust fund, yes.
Yeah, so the money's there?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. Members, let's talk for a moment. Before we get into operating, I want to close out capital. Let's talk about Monument Island. So we have two ways we can do this. 1.1 is the total. We can, in the next fiscal year, we need to spend $250. We can fund it all now, or we can fund the $250, and then we can have the balance of $850 available for other projects. So I would like input from Commissioner Miner. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I brought this item and worked pretty hard with some of the residents on this. I think there's a lot of moving parts to this, as well as other regulatory bodies. I feel strongly we should keep it in now. I think if we start splitting it up, we could lose some of the support that we have. I think we need to show a commitment that we're ready to move forward.
Commissioner Dominguez.
I agree with Commissioner Miner. I've been working on this as well with the Venetian and Palm Hibiscus Group, and there are a lot of other agencies that are involved, and it would risk delaying and not getting this done timely.
Mayor, you're recognized.
Yeah, just so I understand, it's the question we have is not whether we do it, but whether we do 250 or 1.1.
Yeah, so the project will be done at least over 2 years. So we could just fund 250 this year, but then that means the sitting commission next year would need to fund an additional 850 to complete the project. So we have one or two ways. The risk is if we don't fund it all now, then maybe the next year the commission might have different priorities, and then we've spent 250 and then we don't get the rest of the project done.
How often we spend 250 this year, I can't imagine whoever's sitting in these seats is going to have a different view. And look, this is what we're doing is we're putting 850 that we're not going to spend in the next year. And if we had no other folks coming up here, but we've got a lot of folks talking about the Trapper, we've got some.
Well, that you're getting into operations. We're not there yet.
All right. Well, on capital, all I would say is I think you should put a mark in it. I'm fine with putting $1 million aside, but I'm just not sure that you need to put $800,000 aside that you're not going to spend for a whole year until the next cycle anyway, when there are great capital needs and we are making a decision, therefore, that there's something else in our plate we're not going to do, and we ought to know what that is, because someone might say, well, wait, I wanted to do that, except, I mean, this it's not unlimited money. It's money that's being spent somewhere.
Yeah. Commissioner Fernandez?
I think if we have the opportunity now to fund the 1.1, I think it's important. I've been out there with public safety. I've been out there with the residents, and I think it shows a commitment to the regulatory agencies and the permitting agencies that we're working with as well, of our commitment to move forward with this. So I feel more comfortable knowing that as part of the legacy of the city, Miami Beach City Commission, that we're funding this and setting this restoration project of Monument Island in the right path as a legacy project of the current Miami Beach City Commission. I'd support the $1.1 million allocation as part of the 2024 general fund budget.
Commissioner Ariola?
Yeah. I guess I agree with everybody except the mayor, if I heard him correctly. Sorry, Mayor.
It's okay.
I'd rather fund the whole thing.
Okay.
Only because I think you're being generous that future commissions would honor this. I've also seen the flip side where they're like, yeah, we'll honor it, but not this year. And then it doesn't
all right.
get done.
All right. I'll go with everybody.
Perfect. Let's show that funded then in
Thank
the
you.
Amount. And then it'll just carry over, you know, the so
exactly.
It'll be fully funded.
Okay.
So that the sitting commission next in the next cycle won't have to look for the money. It'll be there. Okay?
Gotcha.
And then the trolley's not going to be an issue because we have funding if we do get a grant and the rest. So I think, members, and we agreed last month on this $4 million. Commissioner Fernandez, thank you. You've been championing that. And so that is now in there. And so I think you have what you need from us on the Capitol.
Correct.
Mr. Chair?
I'm sorry?
I have just a question.
Sure.
As it relates to Collins Park, are there any unfunded needs? And I'm just wondering, because Collins Park is such an important area. We're investing so much in arts and culture and in our cultural institutions there as well. We're doing work on the pedestrian bridge. I know we're going to be doing work on Liberty Avenue. Are there any unfunded needs for the redo of Liberty Avenue, for the pedestrian bridge, or to raise even the intersection at 23rd Street? Just wondering if there's anything that needs to be addressed regarding that at this time.
We would ask David to speak to that, but that's the point of this, is actually, I believe, to close
right.
the gaps.
So this was okay. the gap, and so if this is funded, there is no unfunded need.
Yeah. And we funded the through the cultural bond, the black box is funded through the cultural bond, and then we'll talk about some operational things when we get into the operating budget.
So with this funding here, we're including raising the intersection at 23rd
yes.
Street, which I know is important because 23rd Street does have a lot of traffic, but it is a pedestrian connection ultimately to the plaza, to Collins Park, and to the cultural institutions that we have there. So we are raising that
That's
intersection.
Correct. And so $462,000 of this increase is for transportation to pay for that portion of the project.
Got it. Great.
And we're going to take that out of the transportation fund.
That's correct.
Okay. We've got funding there. So, okay, good. If there are no other questions then on capital, I want to close out capital, and you have what you need from us to
yes.
wrap it up and put a nice bow on it and bring that back to us in September. With that, I'll recognize you to talk about operations now.
Okay. If you could put the presentation back up. Thank you. So just kind of short on the agenda, we're going to go through the property value updates, the proposed millage, how we balance the general fund and the resort tax. We're going to go through some of the enhancement recommendations on other funds and then what our next steps are. So this is where we were back on June 1st. We were at a 10.4% increase in our property values, lower than overall Miami-Dade County and the school board, but still very healthy with our second year in a row at double digits. And then July 1st, certified numbers came out. We had an increase to 10.8, which brought in approximately an additional $3 million to our general fund. Again, a lower than the county and the school board, but still, again, very, very healthy. So the next couple charts we've seen kind of before, but they're just updated with the final certified numbers, showing the overall trend over the past 15 or so years. New construction is on the lower end this year at only about $200 million in additional new construction. But on the positive, the existing property value has actually increased over last year into the double digits on its own. And I know this we've discussed in our private briefings, you know, the property values often are a lagging indicator of where things are. So something to always keep an eye on. So this is a very important slide, and there'll be, I think, vote on Wednesday when you have next week when you have your commission meeting. So the administration is recommending no adjustment on the total operating millage. So the millage that which the commission would have control over, we're recommending it to stay flat. We'll go through what funding all of those needs and what the use of those additional dollars are. Now, the good news I want to mention is on the bottom is on the debt service, and that's related to our general obligation debt. When we had last presented, we had projected a 0.1222 millage needed to cover the new arts and culture bond plus a natural increase in the existing Series 2019 GEO bond. After we went to market, we did very well in pricing last week. We were able to lower that estimated debt service. So now we're only needing a 0.0966, which is 27% lower than we originally projected on for the 24 debt service. So we're pretty happy about that. And then here just shows the combined millage over, again, a long trend with the city. Again, still being on the lower end, but you do see that, you know, slightly increase in the voter approved debt. And that will that green box will continue to go up as we add in the second and third tranches of the two voter approved GO bonds.
All right, so now we're going to jump into explaining what we recommend to balance the general fund budget. So this chart is similar to what you saw at the June meeting. In June, we had a projected surplus of $10.6 million. As Jason said, when we got the July 1st numbers, we picked up about $3 million. So now we have a projected surplus of $13.3 before we do any enhancements. So that's how we're going to recommend what we're going to do to get to zero. We are, you know, requesting feedback from the committee and the commission to make changes if we need to. If not, we're going to leave here with a balanced budget. So you'll see that we start with a surplus of 13.3. We are recommending transferring an additional 2.4 from the resort tax fund in order to increase how much is available to fund in the general fund. And then we have recommendations to fund 5.5 of a total of 7.2 requested one-time enhancements, and a recommendation to fund 10.2 of a total of $33 million. So we're unable to fund everything, but we're trying to prioritize the more important enhancements.
Just to highlight that, members, the staff is recommending 13.3 plus 2.4, or 15.7 that we would have. And then they're recommending spending that 15.7 in these two amounts, 5.5 and 10.2, which would zero that out. So we're now going to let them explain their recommendations for the 5.5 and the 10.2, and then we'll come at the end of that and discuss what we agree with and if there's anything that we wish to disagree with. With that, go ahead.
Thank you. The only item I want to add to this is the note of the $5.5 million we're recommending in one-time enhancements, there's actually $7.2 million in requests. And on the recurring, $10.2 million is what we're recommending, but there was actually $33.4 million. And as someone once said, you don't always get everything that you ask for, but hopefully you get what you need.
So yes. the total of the two... the ask is what, close to $40 million?
Yes. About $40 million.
So that's remember what we've asked for and what the staff has asked for, combined with recurring and non-recurring, about 40, and we have 15.7. So now we're going to hear staff recommendations.
Okay. All right. So next slide. So what we did is we grouped our recommended enhancements so you can kind of, you know, take a holistic look of what we're recommending. So on the capital side, we just went over those already. But just to reiterate, we're recommending taking $3 million from the general fund surplus for 24 to pay for the 100 Lincoln Road project. We're recommending the 1.1 that the committee just voted to approve, again, from the surplus from the general fund, 24. And at the first slide we had on the capital was the replacement of the 860 that we, you know, lost on the resort tax projections. And then there's a small 36,000 that we lost on the 1% resort tax projections that actually fund some projects in South Beach. So there's a total of $5 million that we're already appropriating or recommending to appropriate to just cover some capital projects.
And then the other item under the capital recurring is related to the vehicle, the general fund vehicle replacement. Instead of using debt financing, and I know that was a very, I think, unanimous favorable last time in June, was that $4.3 million. Our hope at the time was that would be sufficient at a recurring funding level over the next couple of years. We've gotten some information since then related to fire truck replacement costs that have skyrocketed. So I don't think we could held that for 25. We may have to increase that in 25, but we'll cross that bridge when we need to. But we're hopeful on that.
Will you have any additional information on that by September, or when do we think that information might be available?
We're looking at it. We think that the existing funding level will be sufficient within the pool because it's a pool of cash.
Right.
But if there's an additional need for 24, we'll come back into September.
Okay. Thank you. And these are the items, members, that we discussed in June, the recommendation to pay as we go on the vehicles versus borrowing money, especially since interest rates have gone up significantly. Okay, go ahead.
All right, so these are the public safety recommended enhancements. The first section is just the one time, so these will only show up in the budget once. The first is a police training facility trailer. So the facility is up and running. The police department has asked for us to add funding for a trailer. They would like to have some training events there, have a location for them to house their equipment, and just have events in a cool spot in that location for the police officers and the K-9 unit. Fire has requested a transport gator. They already have gators, but this one would be actually covered and have AC, so it will help them to get into hard-to-reach areas. On the recurring items, we're recommending parks actually ask for 10 additional park rangers. There's a need, you know, address homelessness and other issues throughout the city. They requested 10. We're recommending 5. Last month, we actually added 4. And we also, in the 24 budget, are converting the final 8 part-time to full-time. So our recommendation is just to add 5. Again, a lot of these will be on the beach walk to address issues there. Fire has requested a full-time training officer and a special events coordinator. The training officer will add to the 1 training officer they have now to help with scheduling and also training. And then the special events coordinator is to help, again, scheduling special events in the city. And then police asked for 2 positions, and these are office associates to help with, you know, reporting crime statistics. There have been, changes in what's required by the federal government, and they also have to just provide data daily, so they need some additional staff. And the last 2 items are just, you know, technology solutions. The first one is rapid DNA testing, and the second one is to just technology to help our police officers in the nighttime who work with the K-9 units.
Mr. Chair, I just have a question.
You're recognized.
I just want to make sure it's not a typo. Because I have seen something, and it just stands out at me. 2 positions in the second line under recurring enhancements for public safety. And we always support public safety. I mean, that's not a question. Public safety is our top priority, and we support public safety. But 2 positions in its second year, nearly $500,000. Is that a typo, or is that correct?
That's correct. I believe they're both lieutenant positions, and the second year is when the pension costs will kick in.
No, Jason, he's asking specifically about the police positions, and I'm looking
no,
at
no, no, no.
Fire.
I'm looking at
fire.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and just, yes, I'm just, sorry. I just wanted to make sure that.
I thought you were looking at the police data.
No. Here on the screen, these public safety enhancements on the recurring, it's just 2 positions. Like we're getting. 5 enhancements citywide in park rangers for $452,000, but yet only 2 positions in the fire department is costing us nearly $500,000. And I just in its second year, so I just need to understand that. Of course, we're going to support it as a public safety need, and we support these requests of our departments. But as a fiduciary of the tax dollars of our residents, I just want to better understand then what is going to be the longer term impact. If by its second year it's almost $500,000, what is it by the 5th and 10th year of this fiscal impact to the taxpayers of this city? That is significant for only 2 positions. We support it. It's a need of our residents and our community for public safety, and we always take priority in that. But I just need to know what are going to be the longer-term projected costs.
Let me ask this question. It's a valid question. It's 2 positions, almost $500,000. That's a quarter of a million. I'm assuming that's with benefits and everything. But what level are these positions being proposed at?
Lieutenant positions, both of them.
Okay, so... and maybe we could hear from fire as to the need for the position to be at that level I think that's your question.
Yeah, and of course, being supportive of it because it's a public safety need. But I just need to better understand, you know, by year two is $472,000, just shy of $500,000. What is it by year five, by year 10, by year 20, as these positions mature?
Good morning, Chief. Tell us how you're doing full-time fire training now and special events now, and I guess you're on the hot seat to explain these two positions. Thank you. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Virgil Fernandez. So right now, my understanding is that number is also fully loaded. There are benefits that come with it, a vehicle, the special equipment that they use, their bunker gear and so on. All that is in that price of what this individual is going to cost us. A lieutenant is the first level of supervisory that we have. It is the minimum that we're asking for. Right now on the fire side, we have one lieutenant and the division chief, which 9 years ago, we were able to articulate the need and the importance of training, and the division of training was separated from support services, and now it's a standalone division. And we have one lieutenant assigned to that. We have one civilian assigned to EMS, which does a couple of jobs, but it is the intent of the department that next year that they strictly focus on EMS training. So, you know, right now the way we're doing it is we have three individuals that have been specially assigned to training to allow us to be able to meet the demands that we have in training. A lot of these demands are put in there because of new standards that are established. You know, for example, radiological monitoring is now something that each firefighter has to do on his own. It used to be one per truck. That the city has to demonstrate, the fire department has to demonstrate that the people have received the proper training and that we're protecting our individuals. PTSD is another area that we have to train our individuals. Cancer, how to prevent cancer. All those things are demands that we keep putting on the training division. And the way we're doing it now is by asking members, we reassign members. The same thing has happened with special events. We continue to have an increase in special events. And it is not only the events that we actually assign people to, because there's many events that we don't assign people to. And the way we've done it this year, in the last year and 3 months, has been we have a light-duty person that is assisting the training, special events officer that we have there. You know, these are individuals that you bring plans. They have to evaluate if what you're suggesting, how you're going to protect this event, is in accordance with NFPA standards and our standard. It is also many times they just bring you a plan and they tell you, this is what we want to do. What do we have to do?
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Chief, because a couple things you said. You said it's fully wrapped, so I think you said in vehicles. So this includes something more than just personnel cost and fringe benefits, right?
Correct. My understanding is that it is fully loaded.
So can someone speak to that? Because in that case, I want to try to understand if a piece of this is real, if it's all recurring, or if a piece of it might be non-recurring.
Thank you. Yeah, so year one would include all of their initial equipment purchase, just like any regular employee, if it was like a laptop or anything like that. So all that would be in the year one. The year two would be, you know, pure salary, tax, and benefits.
And is that because your amount for the first fiscal year is because you don't think you'll have them on board by October 1st? And
no, the year one just doesn't include the pension hit, because it always applies into the second year.
Yeah. So let me ask on special events coordinator, because if someone's going to have a special event in our city, they have to get a permit and they go through a whole process. And if fire and police are involved, I think they have to pay that, or they have to come here and get a fee waiver, right? So is there any way that the cost for the special events coordinator could be charged back to the person that is going to get the benefit of the special event. Like, they pay something now. They pay for fire and police, right?
Correct. That is true. It's the I think where we run into a problem is the ones that don't require a special events permit because of the size. You still have to have a review from fire to make sure that you're meeting, you know, the life safety requirements.
Okay, so Commissioner Fernandez, what I'd like to do is task the staff to look at the special events coordinator and report back to us in September if there's a way for all or part of that cost to be passed on as part of a permitting process, because that's really the purpose of having a special events coordinator is to deal with these events. So I don't expect you guys to know all the answers now, but I think we should ask them to look at that.
Sure.
Because it's a big number.
Yeah.
It's a big number. And it's going to keep going up as, you know, salaries and benefits go up.
And that's what, and Mr. Chair, if I may.
Please, you're recognized.
That's what I wanted to better understand. I don't want to question the need of these positions. Clearly, they're necessary positions, but I just want to, as we create these positions and we grow our government, just better understand then what are the long-term impacts, not just the first and second year. Of course, the first year being those upfront costs, and the second year, then you don't have those upfront costs anymore, but then the pension hits. And the moment that pension hits, it grows over the years. And so we know what it's going to be on that first year of the pension, but what is it year five, year 10? I want to get a better understanding. Great suggestion, Mr. Chair. Great to see if we can absorb it through a permit fee.
Yeah, let's see. And then, so we'll have you report back to us on September 13th on that issue. I have one other question for you. Obviously, fire and police both made a number of requests. And one of the things I've asked the staff and the city manager is in making these recommendations. Obviously, you're not going to get everything that you ask for, but what you're getting, is it your priority? Because what I wouldn't want to happen is in September, October, is to learn that you felt like you had a priority that was different than what's before us right now. So you're not going to get everything that you asked for, but what you're getting, are those your top priorities?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are what I believe are the two, as far as positions, are the two critical needs. The gator that we're asking for is really going to enhance service. It is our intent that become a rescue at the Marine Station so that it can cover that immediate area.
Okay, that's good. And I don't know if police is here, but I'm assuming, Madam Manager, that you did the same thing.
Yes, we
police
did, Mr. Chair. And just for clarification.
The Chief is shaking his head, yes. And so I just want to make sure with both our fire and police that while we're not giving them everything they asked for because, you know, Christmas only comes once a year.
And, Mr. Chair, we did that with every director. I mean, we asked the directors to prioritize their enhancement list, and in addition to that, then we had a subsequent review with each of the – because even at that point, we still had to balance. And so at that point, we asked the assistant city managers to review further.
Okay, great. So if there are no other questions related to the recommendations on public safety, we've got one question. You'll report back to us on September 13th. With that, I'd like to recognize you to go to the next one, which is the economic development enhancements. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Okay, so these items, the first two items were actually included in the FY23 budget. They were approved as one-time items. And this is to kind of target business attraction and retention and to promote the city. So we are recommending to continue with these programs. We did reduce the amounts lower than the FY23 budget. The third item is a living wage increase, which you'll see in every fund. This item will come to the Finance Committee next month. So if the living wage increase for the contractors, not for city employees, is approved, then the funding is already projected to be in place. And then the last item is $40,000 for real estate and feasibility studies that, you know, we've been asked to do a lot more studies, so we just wanted to put some additional funding in place.
Okay. Go ahead. So recreational.
Then, yeah, these are for recreation. There was a request for some additional part-time inclusionary aides, and this is to help with the special need kids at our parks. And we actually recommended that because we think that's important. And then Parks is asking for a special events coordinator. They have taken on a lot more events and larger events, so they actually don't have somebody dedicated just for special events, and that's their request. And then the last two positions are there to recommend specialized field maintenance. So, and this is for the athletic fields throughout the city.
Mr. Chair. Go ahead, Commissioner Fernandez.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I just saw again now another slide that mentions special events under the Parks Department. What just so that I understand, because again I see the first year is $82,000, the second year is over $100,000 for a special events coordinator. I know that this commission wants to take perhaps a more conservative, perhaps it seems like, approach on special events. What are the nature? Just for the benefit of those who are following this meeting, what's the nature of the work and the events being handled by this special events coordinator in the Parks Department? Right.
After listening to Fire Chief, this description is very different in that you've all been to our events. You know the Parks Department does many events throughout the year. What are we talking about? Similar to the events we might do with the Hispanic Heritage Committee, Hispanic Affairs Committee, our Senior Events and Convention Center, our Egg Hunt, our winter events, all of the things that you see that we do that is outside of a typical program, a sport, an aftercare, a senior, it is an event. We don't have a person. As large as the department is, as many years as we've been in existence, we've never had someone to focus on that. And we've more than doubled the number of events that we hold since I started here 10 years ago.
So,
and in fairness to John and the entire Parks Department, this has been an ask as long as I've been here. And I have never recommended it for funding. This is the first year that we are recommending it for funding because it is truly a need in the department. They are very overextended in terms of their support to events.
And so if I may, so like, for example, the children's event that happened this week at the convention center.
Yes.
That would be an example of an activity.
That's a hybrid example because that is a lot of summer camp staff is directly involved with that, but the overall coordination could be an example. Yes, the senior events that we have at the convention center.
Got
it. Like I said, our egg hunts, our Black History Month celebration, or Hispanic.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. I think that's wonderful.
All right. Thank you.
Let me ask another question, because I don't know how it's been funded. I know this past year, during the middle of the fiscal year, we enhanced the funding for the PAL program, which partners and does a lot of work with our Parks Department. And also we gave some initial funding for the similar program that's run by the fire not-for-profit. How are those funded in our budget? Have they been funded at the enhanced amount?
So the items that were approved this year, if the item said that it's supposed to be a recurring enhancement, we did fund them in the 24 budget. If it was left to say it was a one-time, obviously it's funded for 23, not for 24. And so there are items that are on the enhancement list that, you know, it was kind of vague. It didn't say for sure if it was supposed to be recurring. Those are not recommended. But there is a list of everything that was approved mid-year.
And do you recall how much is in the budget for those two programs? Because what I will want to happen is that we discuss it now so that in the middle of the fiscal year, there doesn't have to be an adjustment to that, because once we grow the program, we want to sustain the programs. If you don't have that to...
Yeah, so the PAL program has a base budget of 67 that's included in this year's budget. Then there was an enhancement. So the enhancement is not included, just the base budget.
And what about the similar program at FIRE that we gave them initial funding in the middle of this fiscal year as they're starting their program? I think it was in the tune of around $15,000.
Yeah, I don't believe FIRE had anything in their base budget, so there would be no recurring.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in those, and we'll come back to those.
Okay.
Okay. All right, go ahead. You're on the next slide is slide 21, I think.
Yes. So this, our next couple slides are a list of kind of other enhancements or adjustments. The first one is $150,000 for the Monument Island lighting project. This one was discussed and came up. It wasn't originally on the enhancement list, but was discussed at the June FERC meeting for that project. But it after we did some research on that, the 150, which is what's listed and recommended, because that was what we were directed to put in there, appears to be insufficient. It was understanding the facilities worked with that organization to look more into that project, and it appears that project is more in the $500,000 to $600,000 range for an initial change in the lighting, because I know the city already has solar panels with doing lighting now. Would be the 150 for that, and then the more expanded, where I think it's more like the classical music with Michael Rossi and the projections, thing like that. That so it ended up being $500,000 to $600,000. So that 150 is there.
Mr. Fernandez. Commissioner, go ahead. Yes,
thank you. And just to clarify, because there were two options with this project. There's a permanent installation option that is a larger capital investment to what our CFO has described. But then there's also more of a temporary installation, because there is the centennial of centennial celebration of Art Deco, which is a worldwide celebration that's going to be going on in the coming fiscal year. This request of the $150,000 would actually be for this more temporary and limited installation project, not the more expensive permanent installation. And so I just wanted to clarify that, because the CFO is not incorrect. If we wanted to do a permanent lighting project, it would certainly have a larger price tag, as he has described, for more temporary installation for the centennial celebration of Art Deco is aligned with what's presented under the proposed enhancement.
And how does this project fit in with the larger project that we discussed as part of the capital budget, the Monument Island project? So is this related in any way, or does one have to come before the other one?
No, they're separate. The Monument Island project for $1.1 million is mostly related to the installation of riprap and that kind of protective project. This understanding from this organization is related to just changing the existing lighting system that's out there.
So, Mr. Seraldo, I think this is, you're related to this, so I'd like to recognize you. I want to hear, because it's my memory at the meeting we had in June that this would be a match. If you would come up, I'd like to recognize you. What is it that you, what is your vision for having a match and of 150? That means if we move forward with this, we would give you 150 if you raise 150. Go ahead, you're recognized.
Thank you, Commissioner. And apologies, we haven't had a chance to connect with the CFO, but we recently, in the past week, we've updated our proposal given understanding of the electrical setup on the island. So originally our plan was to include 12 projectors all around the island, video projectors. But given the electrical setup, which is solar only, we've revised that down. So the total cost now for hardware, basically, and the lighting would be $150. And then that would be the foundation where we would go out and, sponsor or commission this company that does the lighting production. They're a French company that has helped us put this together. And if you've been to France, they do it on chateaus. And so we would be producing the content, which is estimated for this whole setup, the design and the production, of between $100,000 and $150,000. So that would be our match if the city was willing to outlay equipment. But this is all to be determined in this coming period as we work together to see what's possible.
So the way a match would generally work is you would go find your 150 and demonstrate you've got 150, and if we want to do a match, then we would match that rather than vice versa. So, Commissioner Fernandez, is this something you want to move forward with? I know you'd recommended last time. as a 150 match. I'm not going to support $500,000 this, but is that what you wish for?
I think a temporary installation. Right now, it'll be said that that during the centennial celebration of Art Deco, where activities are going on around the world, including in Paris and in other large cities that have a big influence of Art Deco, that Miami Beach not be participating in something like that as well, that is going to draw international positive attention for our city. I would be inclined to have a set aside in our budget as a matching grant. Of course, the organization, the applicant, is going to have to do its fundraising. As they fundraise, we can match their contribution.
Okay, so I'm not opposed to that. So is it okay with everybody that we leave this in as a placeholder right now and recognize that it will be a match, and your match comes before our match?
Before or during or together?
You can advertise. You can tell donors that if you raise, and I'm okay with it even being dollar per dollar, in that if you decide that the project is only $200,000, then you raise $100 and you get matched $100. So, so you don't have to raise the $150, but it's a dollar for dollar match.
Mr. Chair, can I just clarify if the goal is this would be a grant agreement that would obviously be executed at the point at which the match existed, correct?
Exactly. Go ahead. You're recognized.
Just one small thing is that since we're encouraging the city to upgrade the lighting, we thought a grant agreement, you know, if you want to do a grant agreement, we can, but this idea is really if you guys upgrade the lighting, we will produce this content, this artistic content, all together. So it's up to you guys to decide, but honestly, the grant probably wouldn't make sense because we would hope you all would be purchasing and it would be your equipment.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. We go out and buy $150,000 worth of equipment, then you can't raise $150,000 and we've spent all the money on equipment and we have no content. And so I wouldn't want to spend the money unless we know that you're going to have content, right? You're going to have the funding to do the content.
Okay. That's a good point.
Right? Because otherwise I've got $150,000 in equipment sitting in a closet somewhere. Right? I think we can work out the details.
Exactly. I think right now at this level, Mr. Serraldo, we are at a budget level where we are setting aside funding, but we're not working out the details of it. Right. I think once we set aside the funding, we can trust our city administration to work with your organization and bring back a proposal on how to properly execute it, whether it's through a grant agreement, whether it's something where the city takes a greater lead on it. That we can figure out at a later time. The idea right now is let's set aside the funding, because we do want to make sure that with the centennial of Art Deco, we do play a role in that.
Yeah. So we'll set aside just recognizing it's a match.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right. And we've got a few more on here. I think we had discussed these actually in June. I know the O Cinema was just discussed. That's something Commissioner Rosen Gonzalez has requested. And I don't think there was any objection to that. And then go ahead. You've got the community schoolyard, Biscayne.
Yes.
I had originally asked. I thought that was something related to the school board, but it's not. I guess it's on property that the city owns, right?
Correct. This went through FERC with a positive recommendation. I believe it went to commission with unanimous support. This is for the city to work with the Trust for Public Land, thank you, where the city would do the fund that $70,000 in year one as that one time, which would be for the planning. They would work with that school. They would work with that community. And the idea is that, yes, the major part of the schoolyard and the basketball courts is on city property, to have that get renovated to a higher level, but then also be accessible during the school as part of the school as it is now, but on the off hours become a park for that neighborhood. That would also involve then construction in the following years. But in discussing that with them, their hope is to match with then once the design and the layout and all the schematics are in, they would be able to go out and market that for private donations to help offset the cost of the city for the actual construction.
So let me just ask on that, because it's split over 2 years. Are we going to fund both years, or are we just funding the 70 this year?
You're only funding the 2024 this year.
I'm a little worried about that, but for the same reason we talked about the Monument Island, right? So I wouldn't want to spend 70 and then next year it doesn't get funded. Mayor, go ahead.
It's just, look, we have a lot of things that are multi-years. It's just, I don't think we all of them have to be funded in 1 year, because if that were the case.
I agree.
Imagine.
I agree. Thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
The next item is, though it's a one time, it's really three one times.
Yeah.
That's the which also I believe went through commission for full endorsement. $25,000 per year for the Arts and Culture Geo Bond documentary.
And that came up in the last meeting, and no one had any objections. So that's
correct.
That's fine.
Then on the recurring side, we're recommending $2 million being applied to the general fund operating reserve requirement. That's based on the commission policy, national GFOA best practice. We have a 17% requirement with an 8% goal, so it's 25% total. The city is has met that goal through the 2023 year. So the concept is, if you added $1 million in expenditures, you should be adding $250,000 additional to your reserves. So based on the recommended additional expenditures for the general fund, it would actually be a little over $6 million would be needed to be added. The city has never budgeted to add directly to its general fund reserves. It's always captured what I would call it on the back end. In November, when you close out the year and you do your closeout budget amendment, any of those surpluses roll into that. We are recommending to be, you know, fiscally conservative, as I like to be, is to partially fund that with $2 million to help with that. The second item,
then you would fund the balance of that at the end of the cycle.
That would be the, let's call it the flow of funds. First, we would top off the 25%, and then as by commission resolution, I think the balance goes into a capital reserve available for capital projects, as we know. And in speaking to that, it goes to the next line item, which is $978,000. This would be one of those putting a pin in it opportunities if there was an adjustment to add anything. But as we know, capital projects do not often come on exactly on budget where we end up. We know that the fire station and the police station renovation is out for bid. Will be coming in shortly in the next couple weeks or months. And we want to make sure that there's at least some dollars available. And it would be a shame, obviously, is if a bid came in and it was short $400,000 or $500,000, we would not have an available source of funding because every dollar had been allocated. So we believe it would be prudent to have some amount budgeted specifically to have in our, let's say, call it back pocket for our capital reserve. The next are three positions for the city clerk's office. Related to records management, the administration does strongly recommend this in getting our hands around our paper documents and making sure that we have that under control. We make sure that they're properly disposed of when they're need to be. And the last,
Mr. Clerk, never say that we're not thinking about you.
Actually, this is a problem that's citywide, so we're trying to bring it in and take that responsibility.
Yeah, I recognize that. Yeah, you're going to take on more responsibility, especially with the committees. No,
this is regarding the records management. So right now there's roughly 34,000 boxes in storage, and we don't know what's in there because each department is handling this on their own. So we want to bring it in-house in the clerk's office where we can catalog, we can decide this needs to be destroyed. So that's a responsibility that we're taking it on from citywide to one department.
Okay. Yep. Only 34,000 boxes. Okay, go ahead.
The last item on this list is contracted emergency landscaping services related to, let's say, resident requests when there's landscaping issues that need to be identified. The original ask from the department was related to an additional landscaping crew, adding headcount. In discussions with that department and with that the deputy city manager in charge of that, we came to a, I'll call, happy medium where we decided that let's keep it as a contracted service so we could, you know, be shrink and contract and expand as needed, and we'll see how it plays out over the 2024 year.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead. You're recognized.
Because you asked something that was very important, the committees.
Yeah. I thought that we were going to transition and have the clerk's office be the official record keeper for the committee work forward.
That was under consideration. It was not one of the recommendations at this time.
Madam Manager, do you want to speak to that?
This is an ongoing conversation that Ralph and I have had for quite some time. In order to make that happen, the enhancement request was significant, and we both agreed that this was not the appropriate time to come forward with that type of an enhancement request.
And that would be, because right now the committees are staffed.
They are staffed and absorbed as part of the workload of our existing staff. It has become, over the last year in particular, extraordinarily difficult to manage. Each committee meeting has turned into almost a commission day, and it requires a tremendous amount of work up front, not only on the part of the departments, but on everybody on our staff. We have liaisons assigned that have other duties and that have administrative responsibility for a lot of work. Obviously, we stay here very long nights, they are the keeper of the record of what happens. Those reports are shared as part of the commission agendas after the fact, and they become part of the official record. But they are not done through the clerk's office. They are all done by administrative support staff of either our office or departmental staff.
So what we had requested from the manager, and we've been discussing this, we actually need three individuals, one per committee. Additionally, we need what I would consider a deputy city clerk, which is someone who goes to the meeting, because otherwise we're just checking grammar. So we actually need a person. I can't physically be at all those meetings, so we would need someone else. So it basically was four individuals that we would need. So we decided that at this time the budget was better used for the storage of materials, and we can maybe revisit that next fiscal year.
Yeah, I'm not sure why you need four people. Think about it. It's being absorbed by staff right now, and it's usually one meeting a month. I recognize there's prep time associated with that, but I understand your recommendation. But I would not understand why it would take four people to. I mean, Raphael, you're the liaison for this committee, and you absorb it as part of your job, right. And you don't spend full time on it. So if you weren't sitting here and it was someone from the clerk's office, it seems like it would be a few days a month. I don't know.
But Mr. Paul is not doing the agenda. He's not doing the after action. He's not doing any of that. He's, with all due respect, he's sitting here. He's not doing the front or the back work. It's a little
all
different.
All right. Good. Well, I think, Madam Manager, you've made your recommendation, and I understand that. I think it's something that we should continue looking at going forward. Commissioner Fernandez, do you have something else you wanted to add to that?
I feel that preparing agendas, keeping minutes of meetings and after actions fall under a very clear office. That is the independence of a city clerk's office. And that's where it belongs. So I will follow the recommendations of our professional staff. What I would like to see is that as we move forward into future fiscal years, we find the path to get us to that. Because, Madam Manager, your office has not grown. If anything, your office over time has shrunk in staff, yet you're absorbing this, and you're running an $800 million organization. And there's only so much we can put in the plate of you and your limited staff. And I want to see a commitment from the city clerk's office to take a bigger role in this, because ultimately this is an important responsibility. I want to be able to see after actions for these committee meetings on the city's website. That's important for our residents, and most importantly, we have a very professional city manager, but there's a reason why it should fall under the city clerk's office, because that is an independent office, independent from the administration. And there's importance in having an independent clerk. A number of years ago, our voters decided to separate the city clerk from under the purview of the city manager to be an independent city clerk. So I just want us to find a path as we move into future fiscal years to put that responsibility where it belongs, which is under the office of the city clerk. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And we're not saying that we don't want to do it. It's just saying we don't have the staff to do it at this moment. So it's a decision for this board.
Okay. Commissioner Riola, did you have something?
I just had a question for either city manager or city clerk. To what extent are we using things like AI or these transcription services that that I've used to a limited extent, but they're quite good. I mean, they will literally
recognize. I'm sorry. We utilize the transcriptions that you see online right now. However, the fact that there's individuals speaking,
you don't know who's doing the speaking.
So it still takes us, when we've tried to use it, it doesn't reduce any time.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like with the new, it may not. The technology may not be there just yet, but I think it will be there soon. To what extent, you know, the new AI tools that are out there might make this a moot point or reduce our costs to the extent that, you know, we start using it. I think the technology will be there in the next year. Because the issue is identifying the speaker. I think we might be able to figure out a way around that.
And we've looked into that, and it's not there yet. We've looked at programs. We've tested programs. They're close. Other cities are using actually individuals who transcribe word for word at the commission meeting.
No,
and that doesn't work. It's just it creates more work. We're willing to do it. We just need the bodies to do it at this time.
What if we train our committee members to say, less? Ricky Areola, and then it picks it up, you know, like, because that might be a way of handling it. Because then you'll be able to track who said it.
That may work.
Okay.
That may work.
Is there any, can I be recognized?
I'm sorry?
I wanted to be recognized.
Go ahead,
Thank
Mayor.
You.
You're recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's another option here. I gave up talking about this years ago because I think I used to bring it up all the time. And that is, it is crazy, the detail and the commission and the committee meetings we have. We put our staff in the – I mean, we are not a government where we are all expected to be city managers, frankly. We have a city manager we pay a full-time salary to. We're supposed to be part-time leaders and not more than that. But I've watched. We litigate every issue in committee meetings. We refer them back. We bring them here. We refer them back. And I watch city staff who are extraordinary and who are paid commensurate with their skills, sit through our committee meetings for days. You know, it feels like for days. I asked the committee chairs to try to limit them to 4 hours. But if you go through the schedule of our senior staff, they spend the preeminent amount of their time watching us and advising us on all of the, every time we get an email, we put it in to a committee meeting because we want people to know we're standing up for them. That's not how our government is supposed to work, frankly. We have a senior staff. We have professional managers, professionals who know what they're doing, and they're supposed to come to us like a board of directors. So while it would be – while maybe one solution would be to fully staff ourselves so that we have people listening to us and writing up what we're doing and responding to what we're doing, a far better solution would be to do what I think our charter suggests we do, which is to not have nonstop meetings of commissioners and in this – I mean – if you go to the county and you work, you know it quite well, their commission meetings are, they don't have just every, they don't have discussion items because they just don't need to talk about stuff for hours on end and provide a forum, frankly, to the same amount of people to say the same thing. Sorry to vent a little bit, but why not when we're talking about dealing with it? Commissioner Fernandez was a part of that process and saw how orderly it was. I know you, Madam Manager, were there as well. So I watched it. I've appeared before it. And frankly, it's very businesslike. They do have committees that do things, but they don't just sit around and say, we're going to put every email we get on an agenda, and we're going to bring all the staff who are related to it in, and we're going to talk to them for an hour and then let the four residents who want to be heard talk about it and then have the staff respond and refer it to another committee. Honest to God, it's the most frustrating thing. I invented before and urged everybody to let's not do this, and it's obviously easy for me to say. I don't sit in any committees, but it is not how a manager form of government is supposed to work. It just isn't. I hope the Charter Review Committee does something to eliminate that because it's really just a creature, frankly, of us wanting to be very involved and wanting to have our hands on everything, which is not intrinsically a bad thing. It's good that you want to get involved in everything, but sometimes restraint is the better course, and we have not shown restraint, and maybe I'm to blame somewhat. I have raised the issue, but it's easier to raise it than it is, I guess, to solve it. So maybe the solution isn't to simply carve up with more staff, but to maybe stop the way we do this and start only trying to address the issues that a commission or a committee are supposed to address, and probably either inspired a retort or something from Commissioner Fernandez.
Well, Commissioner Dominguez wants to be recognized. Go ahead. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have a lot of committees in the city, and there perhaps could be a way to streamline, make it better. But I like the committees. I like the resident input. And as a whole, it makes us a better city, better community.
Commissioner Fernandez.
Thank you. I have to say, definitely, the committees serve an important purpose, and we've had them for a number of years. I think what the mayor mentioned is quite true. A lot of times, we get emails, and some of our colleagues just copy and paste the email into a memo, and it ends up being a referral on the agenda. I've gotten frustrated because it was one of the reasons why I suggested we create informational items on the agenda, because let's say you want to put something on the agenda to show that you're taking action on something. A lot of these times, these referrals that we see on the agenda have already been solved with the administration. Rather than put it as a referral on the agenda, just put it as an informational item. I got this email. I called Mr. Carpenter or called the city manager. We solved it with this, and now you get to put it on the agenda as an informational item, and you get the credit you wanted to get by referring it to committee. What would be great is that if there are referrals on the agenda that are creating more work for committees and it's something that's already been addressed, maybe the administration can flag it. Maybe we can start pulling some of these items if necessary, and just so that we just have more efficient committee meetings. Because I think, you know, some of these agendas, I remember when I got here, there was one committee that had over 100 items, and it was quite frustrating. So I just think we have to be more disciplined in what we are putting as referrals, because we can still achieve the same objective by working, picking up the phone, calling the administration, getting the work done with our aides, and then just putting it as an informational item. I solved this issue. I called Mr. Carpenter. I called Aline. I called the department. This got solved, and here's the memo to go with it. And we save time for everyone.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's move on. Otherwise, this committee meeting is going to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Moving on to the last related to the general fund. So in here, the first is a public-private partnership program director position. This was recommended by commission by resolution. The administration supports that. We have a reduction, the elimination of an office associate for position from the city attorney's office was the recommendation. My understanding is it's been unfilled for a number of years, and it'll be released as part of the 24 budget. Liking that. The Enzo Gallo mural storage, starting the new fiscal year, whatever ends up being the resolution of it, it is the city's responsibility as we've taken that on. So we have to, the storage area has been located. That is the funding for that. The CAP program, there was a number of items related to that. We are renovating in the capital program their building. They get for rent free. We are recommending the CAP program supplies at $41,000. There's a small expenditure related to the GIS for planning.
Let me go back to on the CAP, because so this is an enhancement, but there's other funding that we are providing now, right?
Yes. Just to summarize that, right now the city funds. Now I know a few years ago it was zero because I believe it was funded through a grant through PetSmart, I believe, that the city had for a very long time that helped start kind of a cat management assistance program. That organization, that company, no longer I guess provides it, so the city doesn't have the grant, and the city decided to start picking up some expenses after some advocacy. So there was a cat program coordinator position. It's already on the books in the sanitation division of Public Works. We also fund an extra 61,000 program CAP program services. We also cover, as and I believe it's on your agenda, is renewing, I guess, the lease for the Kitty Campus, I believe it's called. So there's a city facility that's given basically for no charge for this program, and the city covers all the utilities, electricity, Atlantic broadband, water, sewer, stormwater, and then just general equipment and supplies. So the city funds normally $183,500 for that existing. The enhancements that are in here, if you go back to the capital budget, there was $150,000 of an ask, and that it was in the recommendation for the recertification renovation of that building. And then the $41,000 here out of the general fund for the additional CAP program adoption supplies. So that would bring the total 2024 proposed budget related to this program to $375,000. There was an additional ask of $121,000 for a full-time cat trapper position that included a $60,000 one-time equipment, I think it was the vehicle. So that was 121 in the first year. That wasn't on the administration's recommended list. We recommended the other two, not the third one. And if I may, just before, is that that item, those positions, would be funded out of sanitation. And we'll get to sanitation in the next couple of slides, but just to that point, as we know we've discussed in briefings, is the sanitation fund has, unfortunately, a structural deficit in there. If the enhancements are approved, the deficit becomes a little bit bigger, and we really looked at that in its totality. The administration just decided that that wasn't a recommended item.
Okay. You want to be recognized? Go ahead.
Thank you. The cat trapper position is one that's under the utilities enhancements, and you mentioned that it's coming up later. I just want to stress the importance, while the first two items are being included for the building and the other funding, the cat trapper position is very important. They have been waiting for this for 2.5 years, and the cat population has gotten out of control. Since COVID, a lot of clinics were closed, and that's what's gotten the population to grow out of hand and making this so urgent. Also, having their volunteers do it has not been effective. A cat could have over 100 kittens in their reproductive life, and getting this under control with a full-time trapper is critical. If it's the will of the chair, we have Holly here from the Kitty Campus. She's works there, and she can share some more points on the importance of having the cat trapper.
So let's do this. I understand that Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez has a statement that the clerk has asked to read. But and then what I want to do is move this conversation as part of when we get to the sanitation. So go ahead,
Clerk. Commissioner Rosa Gonzalez has texted me to describe the emoji that she sent, which is a cat emoji with hearts. But she says, I love our felines, and this population is part of our community, Miami Beach. The trapper position is a good value and essential.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll table this conversation until we get to sanitation. Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead. I'll let you finish this slide.
Thank you. So just so to wrap up where we started with the general fund. So that all of those lists of administration recommended enhancements is what we have in the general fund. So that's, we started the $13.3 million surplus. We added, resort tax will be next, so there's more discussion related to that. But we're recommending the surplus for the 24 resort tax be transferred over as allowable to the general fund for use. And then we had $15.5 million in recommended one-time, $10.2 million in recommended recurring, and that thus balances our budget.
Okay. And I know we're going to have some other items that we want to talk about, and we'll put a pin in all of them, and we'll come back to them. But I want to get through. Go ahead. I want to get through these next sections.
Okay. So now we're going to talk about balancing the resort tax fund. All right. So the surplus of 4.3 is slightly lower than the number we had in June. Again, our projections just went down slightly. Next slide. And this is the recommendation to get to a balanced budget. So the 2.4 is what we've mentioned a couple of times to be transferred to the general fund. And then we're going to show you what we're recommending for the remaining 1.9 in the next slide. So we had a special commission meeting on July 6th to talk about spring break, which we've now listed here as March 24th. This could be any other month within the fiscal year next year. So, you know, ignore March. But what we're recommending is setting aside $1.3 million for possible large-scale community events. We haven't earmarked any events. We want to leave that open for the commission to make recommendations. And then we did talk about on the 6th, setting aside an additional $600,000 for PD overtime for the scheduling at Alpha Bravo. So that's what we're recommending as a 1.9. As we stick a pin, this is another pin that we could stick here where, depending on what the commission recommends that we fund, it is possible that we could reduce that 1.3 and allocate funding for other programs as, commission recommends.
Mr. Chair? Let's do this. We've got some other items we want to... We're going to put a big pin in this one, and we're going to come back to it, okay? So let me just say that at the last meeting, we had decided that we were going to put aside $3 million. And that was partially based on what we thought was an estimate of perhaps $1.5, $1.6 million for Alpha Bravo during spring break. It looks like that number is coming closer to 600 versus 1.6. Mm-hmm. And so that 3 now becomes... 2, which is basically what this is. And so we have a pot of gold, we have a pot of money of 1.3, and we've got some other things that we want to talk about, and I'm sure we all have some items, and so we're going to come back to those.
I want to get
to some of these other buckets, okay. Because there may be some of these conversations where funds can come from other buckets rather than this, okay? So... With that, we're going to come back to this, but I want to move forward with the others.
Right, and then the first item here is an existing secret shopper program, which has been reinvigorated. The city attorney's office just asked us to increase that budget slightly so they can do, a little more research.
That's for the sidewalk outdoor dining secret shopper program.
Exactly. And then that $10,000 is just our estimated impact. If we approve all these enhancements, how the budget would be increased for internal services.
Okay. So let's move forward with the utilities now. Your slide 31.
Yes. So what we have here are a number of one-time enhancements in our utilities, which will be your stormwater, water, sewer, and sanitation. And they're kind of listed there. They're I call them usual suspects. You see these very often every year. More and additional portable backup generators, bypass pumps, changing out of the drive replacements for the stormwater, and a new vehicle for sanitation. So that's $1.7 million, but it's spread across various different utilities.
And we'll assume that the staff has prioritized what you need first, and so that's what you're recommending.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Next slide.
Now, these are recurring utility enhancements. We have, the sanitary sewer vacuum trucks, 2 of them. This has been a recurring as we continue to, replace that fleet of very expensive vehicles. We have replacement of stormwater submersible pumps. This is really going to be a continuous a program. That's why it's kind of listed as a recurring, because we have so many of those. Some additional engineering consulting services for water and sewer, which is very common to have a GEC on hand to help with the kind of preliminary design for some of these projects. We have a few positions in our control room operator through the public works that are being recommended. That's split funded water, sewer, and stormwater. And then we get to the sanitation, which I know we talked about in a few of the briefings. There's a few here, and I'll go through them. The first is the sanitation operator supervisor position that is recommended by the Sanitation Division of Public Works. That position specifically would be overseeing our many pressure washing teams as a primary responsibility. We have a number of teams. We know that they're out there doing the work, but they wanted to have an actual supervisor for those teams, make sure they're being efficient. Next is the transition of the gas leaf blowers to the non-gas power. That's going to be kind of recurring expenses. We transition out of those. The bottom two are kind of a group together. Those are 3 positions, 2 CSRs, and a solid waste contract compliance admin position. Those three specifically were tied to the new franchise agreement RFQ that is going out. And you'll see the very small, let's call it smaller number in 24 with a bigger in 25. We're recommending only half funding that 6 months in because we acknowledge that those new contracts and those responsibilities will not come online on October 1st. It will take a while. And those are the responsibilities that did come through the FERC discussion, went up through commission, and are in the RFQ, is my understanding, for solid waste, which this commission will be, I believe, discussing next week. But the idea, just to remind everyone, was that there was a funding attached to this. And I think there was an idea at the time, I don't know where that would go, related to funding these positions with expanding the franchise fee onto the brokers. I know that's on second reading, but open and continued. But this was a revenue and an expense tied together. But as of right now, we have it is a recommended expenditure to the sanitation.
Okay, so let's pause and spend some time on sanitation and have some conversations. So the first on those positions, we had decided as a body we want more customer service related to sanitation, and so we're going to create these positions. Initially, there was a thought that we might generate some additional revenue by applying the franchise fee to brokers. That may or may not happen. That's in discussions now. And we're going to have a conversation next Wednesday as part of our commission meeting on the waste hauler contract. But did I hear you, Jason, you say, or Tamika, that sanitation is running at a deficit right now?
Yes. Well, they're projected to be about $170,000 have a gap in the deficit. That's not including these enhancements. So the enhancements listed there would push that further.
So now, not 2.2 million, though.
No. So what will happen here is
right,
that
the
deficit.
The ones that are marked sanitation, the 106, 75, 73, and 49.
Correct.
This fiscal year?
Right. That's an additional $303,000, which would push it to 475. The fund does have a healthy fund balance, so there's not a concern in the short term. Uh-huh. The medium term, a little concern. Longer term, a concern. So
it's not an issue this year. So I would recommend members, we're going to have a conversation about the waste hauler RFQ next week. And Mr. Gomez, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about that yet. But what I would like the staff to do is to look at the RFQ and to see if these positions can be funded through that mechanism, because it may be that we can say to the offerors, whoever's going to apply for a contract for sanitation, that there has to be a funding opportunity for these customer service positions in the contract, and they'll bake it into their pricing. So I'd like us to at least look at that. Commissioner Dominguez? Go ahead. I'll recognize you.
And I think it's under these line items that a cat trapper position would be identified. So if that's something that could be put under consideration, I'd like to ensure it's on there.
And that is that. How much is that addition?
The cat trapper, $121,000.
Yep.
Yeah, for year one. Okay.
Commissioner Fernandez, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what you're suggesting is that, because what I was going to say to start off with was with these customer service representatives for solid waste, you have one, looks like supervisory position, and then you have two representatives. And I was going to suggest, instead of having two representatives on the first year, see what the demand is, maybe have one representative and one supervisor. Rather than creating a team of three, but what you're saying is rather than the city carrying the burden, pass it along to the contractor, the creation of these positions. What I want to be mindful of then, do we still need to include it in the budget?
Well, let me ask Mr. Gomez, on these three, those are the bottom two line items on this slide, the full-time customer service representative, two positions for those are the ones that the we had said that we want to have customer service reps, right?
That is correct, sir. And we are including them as part of the public benefit under the franchise agreement. So
Okay, and what is the next item, the full-time solid waste contract compliance admin position? What is that?
That.
You're recognized.
Thank you, sir. That position basically is to help fund and oversee all of the contracts we have, the commercial contracts, to help with our residential one, the county recycling one we have as well, and to help administer the program as well, just day-to-day operations. So that's what that position is for. And we always had the intent of bringing that as part of that RFQ, even before the discussions that were had at FERC.
Okay, so the 25, the full cost would be around, let's call it $300,000. We think there's a way, as part of the RFQ process, to fund that. I want these, and I think the body has, these are going to be city employees.
Yes. That's correct.
But there may be a funding opportunity, which means that this would not put us further in a deficit situation because you will get the funding through that contract, through some means. It could be an add-on to the franchise fee. It could be, we can call it something else. It could be a customer service fee. There's a way to do that.
Right. The way it's been structured in the RFQ right now is, as with other public benefits we receive from that agreement, there are specific items called out and costs associated with it. It's been an additional line item added in there with a cost benefit, and it's basically a reimbursement back to the city for the cost that we absorb for those positions.
Okay, so those two are not going to put us in a deficit situation. Now, let's go to the other, the 106 and the 75, let's call it 125 or so. Those additions would, but not in the short run because there's a fund balance, right?
Correct.
Okay. Let's talk about Commissioner Dominguez and Rosen-Gonzalez. Commissioner Rosen-Gonzalez, the trapper. What is the cost associated with that on an annual basis?
It's for the first year, it is $121,000. And year two,
I'm sorry. Just give me a ballpark.
Yeah,
I think there may
it's
be
78,000.
There's a recurring that's a
right. There's 60,000 in the first year cost. The second year cost without the 60, with salary increases and pension, is 78,000.
And this would this be a city employee?
Yes.
Yes.
Was that the request that it be a city employee or a grant to this organization? Commissioner, Mr. Gomez, go ahead.
I can address that. We looked at the, and I think that was one of the discussions we had at FERC, looking at it as a contract. We looked high and low, and that service is really not available. It's a contract service, so the ask is to have it as a city employee, full-time city employee.
And they would report to someone in sanitation?
Yes, they would report to our CAT coordinator in sanitation.
So I do recognize there is a problem on the streets with the CAT. So, I think that I would agree to move forward with it on a 1 or 2 year basis to see if we get the problem under control. And then I don't know that I want to. And that's why I ask about contract services, right? But you're saying you just don't have, you can't find a contract services trapper.
That's correct.
Commissioner Riola.
Yeah, look, my feeling is, if the spay and neutering program were working, this wouldn't be the epidemic it's becoming. I'm hesitant to put a full-time city person on this because here's what's going to happen. Even if we say, and I would be open to a 1 or 2 year thing, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be justified in 2 years and it's going to become a permanent employee. Then they're going to need an assistant. And then, it's just going to get out of hand. So I'm going to be a firm no just because I have no trust that we'll ever scale it back. And I would say if you do want to do it, I don't mind allocating money to this. Hire a 1099, an independent person, even if there's no service advertise for it. I'm sure there's people who would love to be paid to go trap these cats and have a spay and neuter program going. Because if the spay and neuter program worked, we'll eventually get ahead of this and won't have so many cats. But the problem is, once you put I've been here 8 years. I can't remember the last time we did a real downsizing. We never, ever get rid of city employees, even ones we don't like. I mean, it's crazy. You know? Yeah, I'll be gone soon, which is, you know, makes some people happy. But the reality is, you know, government just grows and grows. And you know, we're on a great trajectory now. We've had some great years. All 8 years that I've been here have been up. But sooner or later, it's going to go back down. And then what's going to happen? I don't want to put us on a path where we have to be increasing taxes in order to pay for a bloated city government. So I'm going to be a no on this. I will allocate money to this to find someone who can help us get ahead of this situation. If the spay-neuter program works in 2-3 years' time, this won't be a problem anymore. But what will happen, I know it, we'll hire somebody. They'll need an assistant. The assistant will need an assistant. And it will just grow government.
Mayor, you're recognized.
You know, look, I'm going to support the allocation, but I do think, though, Joe, there's so many groups that care deeply about pets and cats and things like that. That there is there a way to put the money out there and see if there's a group that would take on that role as a, whether it's 1099 or some relationship with the city, because frankly, I think they might do it better than hiring somebody within, and they might be able to have other functions. They might have a relationship with some of the institutions in the county that address the issue as well. In other words, it might be better to spend the money as on an independent contractor than on an employee.
Mr. Mayor, to your point, the volunteer, and they are great. We have a lot of volunteers, and Holly can attest to that. A lot of volunteers, but volunteers have full-time jobs. Their reliability is only as good as when they're able to volunteer. So that becomes a problem. In terms of finding and putting the money to other organizations, you know, we've had partnerships before, Sobe Cats, and we had one years ago with PetSmart, which that didn't continue on. I think if we're going to address the problem, and it is a problem, and trust me, I get the reports from Holly every quarter on everything she's doing. It is a substantial problem in the city. I think we need to, and if it has to be on a 1 or 2 year basis, we're willing to take that on and see if we can bring down the numbers and control it. And I don't disagree with Commissioner Arriola's assessment, but again, I think it's a real problem that we need to address.
Holly, I want you to come up because I'd like to ask you a couple of questions if you could just approach.
Commissioner, I have a follow-up.
Yeah, go ahead, Mayor.
Yeah, I guess my question, though, is like the Humane Society. I mean, in other words, have we gone to other groups that are staffed and said, hey, look, we'll contract you, we'll pay you money to perform this service? And because if we're willing to pay, the only question is who we're going to be paying. And it's not Commissioner Ariola's point that Geisma, though I think it's one we need to consider. It's just that it may be better if there's another group out there that is already in the field that we're addressing. So have we checked with any of these others?
And Mayor, if you yield.
Well, I do.
Yeah, I'll yield.
Hi, my name is Holly Whalen. I'm the CAT program coordinator for the city. I do know, like, Miami-Dade Animal Services has their catty department, which is all run by volunteers, to trap around Miami-Dade. They're backlogged with over 200 requests, and they're not getting it done either. So there is, I mean, when you're relying on volunteers, they have full-time jobs, and it's just not getting done. And I can't even tell you how many requests I get on a daily basis. My phone starts going off in the morning, and I have to have it set on Do Not Disturb at 11 o'clock at night.
I guess my point is I understand that we can't do this through volunteers, but the only question for me is whether we allocate the money to an employee or whether we allocate the money to a group. So it's not going to be a volunteer. It's going to be somebody who's paid. The only and that person may be working with a group that does a lot of other services. And I know, Commissioner Fernandez, I'm happy to, I know you wanted me to yield. I'm happy to yield to you, but to the point is, I'm not saying to do it through volunteers. What I'm saying is, if we're going to put $100,000 into it, into the marketplace of people who care about this, could we find a group that says, oh, this isn't just on my weekends, I'm going to be paid and I'm going to work with this group? Well, that's a different story, because now it's, you know, it's something. In other words, have we tested the marketplace with money? Because we're not, I don't expect volunteers to take care of our problem. Yeah. Commissioner Fernandez, I know you wanted to jump in.
Well, through the chair, I mean, my question is that, you know, Miami-Dade County has Miami-Dade County Animal Services Department, a very large department, and so Holly, you're saying that even Miami-Dade County does this with volunteers?
Yeah, they have a caddy department.
They don't have any employees that do this?
I think they might have one or two. I'm not sure how many they have right now.
And that's one or two employees for all of the 2,000 square miles of Miami-Dade County. Why is that? Why? I mean, I'm just wondering, if the demand is there and Miami-Dade County has a huge budget, have we tried going to Miami-Dade County and telling them, listen, this is a need here that we have in Miami Beach. We already pay taxes to Miami-Dade County to cover these services. Why aren't you providing sufficient employees to meet the bare minimum requirements that our community has with this serious issue in our community? Have we tried going to the county and asking them? I mean, we pay taxes. The question is which line item in people's taxes is it coming from? Is it from the cities or the county? The county has a huge, robust department for animal control and animal services. Have we tried going to them and asking them, you know, to supplement their services over here, Madam Manager?
Commissioner, I will invite you to call our county commissioner and see what they can. Let's do this because I want to move forward with this, but I think, Mr. Gomez, you probably can do a little bit more work for us, because I share the view of Commissioner Arreola that I would rather pay for this service, and I want staff to do a little bit more work. If we were to pay for a service, it would, you know, be a full wrap rate for instead of fringe benefits and all that other stuff. So I don't know if the number that we hold is 100,000 or 150,000 preliminarily, but I think that we could make this decision on employee versus 1099 in the very short list of open items we'll have on September 13th. But I'd like to support putting a dollar amount in the budget today, and then we can make the decision on September 13th. If I have to believe that there's 1099 opportunities out there, we're going to pay people, especially these volunteers that I recognize they may have other jobs, but if they understand that now this could be their job, right, then they may want to do other jobs part-time. I don't know. Commissioner Fernandez, go ahead.
Yeah, and I'll support the funding. And my frustration is that when we have to step in and do now the job of another jurisdiction that's not doing their job right, that is my big frustration. We're getting the emails because Miami-Dade County Animal Services is not doing their job right. And now our residents who are already paying taxes to Miami-Dade County are going to have to come in and fill in the gap. And we do it all the time. I mean, we do it with education because Miami-Dade County.
I was getting ready to say, we want to talk about the school over $2 million.
Public schools. Yeah. Right. And it's such a big frustration because we also need to train as a community that we need to take our fight to the bigger stage. We need to take our fight to the school board. We need to take our fight to Miami-Dade County, because we are already paying taxes and we're being shortchanged, and now we're going to have to pay even more to do the work that someone else is not doing right. And so the need is there. I'm going to support it. But I think in the meantime, while we decide do we do it as a 1099 or not, we also need to go knock on the door of Miami-Dade County and tell them, hey, listen, you got to expand this service because we have a serious issue over here in Miami Beach with this. Thank you.
Okay, so what number should we hold, 100, 150? What number?
The position, the enhancement request was at 121. And I know I spoke with a few related to a third option, let's call it, which would be the vehicle plus part-time position to stay away from, you know, a pension and health insurance, which are obviously a big cost escalator in the future. So that's on the table. But it sounds like there seems to be a flat of 100,000, let's say. We'll have to look at that and then come back to refine our recommendation.
But if we were to 1099 this, then we wouldn't be buying a vehicle, and somebody else would have to do it, and they would have to pay for that as well. Right?
Absolutely. A 1099 employee wouldn't be able to drive a city vehicle.
Exactly. So let's hold for today, if it's okay, members, let's hold 150, right? 150. And then, well, the 121 is if it's an employee, but I think you would need...
It's an employee plus a vehicle.
The it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's
so
only
121.
The year two is only 70,
let's hold 121 today, and then... you all do some additional work for us, right? It's just, again, on this very short list of things you're going to bring back on September 13th with a little bit of a briefing, and then we'll make a decision if we if it has to be an employee or if we can do some sort of 1099 or contracted services, which is clearly my preference.
Understood. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah,
and if I just to close out the sanitation area, we will also then modify the revenue for the sanitation fund to show a revenue offset for the three sanitation positions we discussed.
Exactly, because we're going to talk about that next week at the commission, but that is the way that I'll at least be recommending that we fund that, and it sounds like you guys have already got that in your draft. So, and so... We'll be good there. So go ahead. You've got a couple more slides, and then we're still going to go back to some things we've pinned.
Yes. I think we just basically have two more related to enhancements. These are mobility enhancements. First is the transportation fund. The administrator's recommendation, we have three one-time, the $600,000 for the water taxi subsidy for the pilot program. The recommendation, I know we talked about in briefings, was that the overall transportation fund, we want to look at how it structurally looks like after the new trolley contract comes in. We look at those numbers and reevaluate. Two other one-time is a traffic signal optimization pilot project we're excited about, and expanding the beachwalk safety enhancements, which are in one segment of the beachwalk to make that citywide. And then on parking, is as had been discussed, and I believe also had a favorable recommendation by the commission, was converting five part-time parking positions to full-time. And then the final and other enhancements, this is a kind of some of the enhancements related to some miscellaneous, let's call them, funds. The biggest one here would be the first one, $500,000 out of the Information Technology Fund for a citywide customer relationship management, or CRM, application system to get up to the newest technology to provide better customer service to our residents. Again, the living wage increase for all other funds, as Tamika had mentioned earlier. The Cultural Arts Council, which has a dedicated funding source related to resort tax that comes in there as those resort tax over the years have expanded. The $850 hasn't been changed the appropriation in a number of years. The recommendation is to add $250 onto that pool.
I'm putting a pin in this. We're going to come back to it. Go ahead.
The establishment of a compost hub in Mid-Beach, the holiday lights display. No additional lights, but we actually have to maintain what we've already put in there. We have a full-time office associate for the Arts and Culture Bond. There are a lot more work out of the Facilities Department. That's to support them. And then finally, the Legacy Purchase Program for Art, $50,000 out of the CEC. That has been, in the budget for many years as one time or done ad hoc, but now just formalize it and put it in as a recurring.
Yeah. So let me go back up to see. I know Lissette is here, and we've talked about this a little bit. Right now, we're funding that at $850, I believe.
Correct.
And the recommendation is to go to $1.1 million.
Correct.
And I think the idea is that if we do that, there'll be more funding in that bucket, and people will follow a process. The problem I see with that, members, is we know that's not going to happen, right? Because people are going to call us during the year and they're going to say, I need funding for this program or that program, and then you'll bring an item. And so I want to increase it some, but not that much, and I want to leave some money here because I think we're about to spend it in a few minutes with some other programs. So, Lissette, come on up, and I know you probably love it when I give you a surprise. You know, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this. I think your idea is that if we put 1.1 instead of 850, then people will go there instead of coming here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Commissioner Lisette Arrogante, Tourism and Culture Director. So, no, the CEC funding is to help us fund new organizations. This is different than the asks that you get for special event sponsorship. So for this fund, it hasn't been updated since 2017, and we have still been getting more and more applicants. So right now we're at 55 applications. The total was 1.2. So this is cultural anchors. We have 14, which is the Bass, the Wolfsonian, and we have about 30 or 40 cultural presenters that are like South Beach Jazz. So when you spread it out so much, the average cultural anchor is getting about 35,000, cultural presenters between 12 and like 16,000. So that's, we were just trying to help increase the funding and help us adjust to the amount of interest in applicants. But this is separate from those asks that you're referring to.
Well, I think one of the asks we're getting, for example, and we're going to, members, we're going to talk about some of these, you know, the Normie Fountain that we've been funding that isn't.
Right, that does not go through this.
I know,
fund.
The Ocean Drive, the South Beach Jazz Festival, those are not funded in our budget right now.
Only South Beach Jazz receives CAC funding, but this year they've only received 16,000, and their event budget is about 270.
And they had, last year, I think they got close to 30,000. So it would be my preference, members, rather than adding 250, let's add 150 to get it to a million. Let's take the other 100,000 and add it to that 1.3 that we've got, that we're getting ready to, people have some ideas. So how do you guys feel about that? Mayor, go ahead.
Look, I think that the three, let's try to be, and thank you for being detailed about it. It's the promenade stuff that happens outside in Loomis. It's the fountain stuff that we get as well, and it's Lori's and David News South, you know, for Jazz Festival. Those three of them. Look, I think those have become. We may have cultural anchors like the ballet and others that are sort of the massive ones, but I think those three programs have sort of become. I don't know. I would call them cultural anchors in their own way, frankly. Right. By the way, things that our residents tend to go to, although I would argue that when people walk on Ocean Drive and they see that going on, they think to themselves, this is a pretty neat community. I like it. And I feel the same way about the fountain and the jazz festival. So whatever we can do to fund these programs on a recurring basis, we should be doing. I think they are as important to the sort of the sense of place we give our residents in anything.
Yeah, and that's why it would be my recommendation, instead of adding 250, we add 150, because we can decide where the other 100 goes today. Because if we leave it there, then we say, okay, ODA, you go make an application. Normandy Fountain, you go make an out. And they're not going to do that. They're going to come to us. They're going to call us. And then someone's going to bring an item. And then we're going to be dealing with a budget shortfall in the middle of the year because somebody didn't get their funding somewhere else and they want us to close a gap. Lisette, I'm going to let you react because I'm giving you a surprise this morning because I didn't tell you that I don't want to fund the 250. I only want to put 150 in, and I want us to spend the other 100 on cultural. You understand my surprise?
Mr. Chair, if I could just help a little bit, I think, because
sure.
I think I want to crystallize what I think Lisette is trying to say. This program that we're talking about right now is very specific and has very specific criteria that has to be met. And obviously it predominantly funds our cultural anchors that have a certain level of audience, and they receive very small amounts of money when you consider the large amount of audience that they serve. And what Lisette is saying is over the years, that ask every year escalates, and it's now at 1.2 million. We've never been able to fund it appropriately. The types of events that you're discussing, these other types of events, wouldn't fall under that criteria. They would actually not fall under that program. So those events would be funded under some other type of umbrella, probably the special events umbrella. And they have received, by going directly to the commission, they have received large amounts of funding. And based on the criteria that both these programs have, that funding would be limited.
And I understand that these other programs would not qualify, so they can't go there, which is why they're coming here, and we're going to have to allocate money. But even if we add 150 to the 850, that's a little bit more than a 17% increase. That's not insignificant. So I would rather add 17%, and then next year, if you want to come back with another 5% or something. But I want to spend that other 100 because we've got people that are sitting here that want us to react to that today. So, does everybody understand that? Because it's not me making the decision; it's us making the decision that instead of taking the 850 and moving it to a million next year, which is a 17% increase, and then that creates another $100,000, which we've got another bucket of money of 1.3. That we're going to be able to, we're going to have to use because we've got some people here that are going to make a request, and I know that we're going to honor those requests.
Yes, and Mr.
Chair, go ahead, you're recognized.
Thank you. Perhaps just so that I can better understand this at a different scale, it's a broad policy. I think whether we increase it by 150,000 to a million, or whether we increase it more. It's easier for me to understand this as to how does this increase trickle down to the cultural anchors. For example, if we were to approve what the administration is requesting, what would a cultural anchor be receiving in the future compared to what they're receiving now? Just so that I can better understand the impact of our investment here in the short term versus the long term. Or under what we currently have budgeted versus what is being proposed by the administration.
So I can give you an example for the 24 funding request for, let's say, the Jewish Museum. They requested 30. Right now, their recommendation of what's available based on their score and funding available, they're getting 23.
Mm-hmm. But if we were to fund the program at the level that the administration is requesting, they would be able to get the full 30?
Close to that. So that's what we're trying to do, because the ask of all the cultural anchors and presenters was close to 1.2. So by asking for the 250, we're going to get a little bit about around 1.1. So we're trying to get as close as possible to match that. You know,
And when we speak about cultural anchors,
yes,
for the benefit of the body and those following the meeting, define to us how many cultural anchors do we have?
We have 14. That includes the Miami City Ballet, the Wolfsonian, the Bass, Oak Cinema, Oolite. The cultural presenters are the non-brick-and-mortar organizations like South Beach Jazz, to give you an example.
Okay. So our cultural anchors are our larger organizations.
That's correct.
Okay. I feel comfortable supporting the request of the administration, but I also understand the chair's desire to be wise on how we use these dollars. I guess if an organization was in desperate need of that funding and wasn't able to get it, they could always come back to us.
Exactly.
And say, I didn't get the full funding. And because at the end of the day, I just don't want to fully fund it because they're requesting. Well, I think it still has to be vetted. I know that organizations oftentimes they'll request 50, knowing they're not going to get 50, knowing they might get 35. And so, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your conservative approach with this, because at the end of the day, if an entity does need that supplemental funding that they didn't get through the funding process, they could still come back to the city commission. We could still fill that gap if necessary.
Yeah, I'm just trying to create a small bucket of money that, because we're getting ready to spend it, I can promise you. So for example, the ODA program is not funded anywhere in the budget right now.
And I have a feeling that there may be some of us here that want to fund that. The full funding for the Normandy Fountain is not mm-hmm. funded in the budget right now. So these are the things that we put a pin on that I want to come back. So I can easily add probably $250,000. And so I can take $100,000 from this, and then we're still going to have to take $150,000 from the other little bucket. And that's okay, because we've got the cushion to be able to do that. So, Mayor, you're recognized.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting, because sometimes when you're discussing these budget issues, you come upon a policy, you know, moment. And I think there's some clarity for me in a sense that we have the cultural anchors, which are brick-and-mortar anchors. They get money in this budget. They also got the geo bond, which was quite – the museum might have gotten $30,000. I think it got 800 and something thousand in the geo bond. The ballet got $15 million. So we treat our cultural anchors that are brick and mortar differently. I think, though, at some point, we really need to start recognizing that our city has anchor presenters that are not necessarily brick and mortar. Right. And not everybody who wants to present is an anchor presenter. I don't want to in any way get the Mango people mad at me, but the Mango Festival has come here a few times, and sometimes it hits and sometimes it doesn't. But I think at some point we need to recognize that when we have residents and non-city personnel who have demonstrated an ability to put something on a regular basis, I think that at that point the city should say, you are a presenter anchor in our mind. We are going to give you money every year, because guess what? All we got to do is, we know it's happening. You've shown us you can do it in a great way. We love that it's happening, and we want you to be able to grow it, because the mere fact that you don't have a brick and mortar place, or maybe you'll use some of those from time to time, tells us that you are somebody we should be investing in, and not just saying, hey, come back to us if you don't. So my view is that this has been very helpful to me, because I think this three groups that I've mentioned, the Jazz Festival, and of course the Promenade, and of course the Fountain, and there are people assigned. It's ODA and Jonathan Plutzik, it's David Sexton and his gang, and it's Laurie Beckham and David New. I mean, but they're sort of incredibly industrious people who have shown us that they are presenting anchors to me. And I think we've got to figure out how to include them rather than say every year, hey, you know, come and fight through this process. Right. I think we should treat them the same way we treat our brick-and-mortar anchors, because, frankly, we want to foster them and hopefully grow them, because they've shown they can produce things for us.
And through the chair, if I may. And certainly, and I completely agree, it's Ocean Drive, it's the Normandy Fountain, it's South Beach Jazz. Even Collins Park – neighborhood association.
I was having
this conversation with Ray and also Lincoln Road, because I'll tell you, this is an important policy decision, an important policy discussion. Putting aside independent organizations here, this is policy. And why is it policy? It's policy because our community is speaking of the conversation, and the tone is, let's have fewer events in the community. Or out, spread out throughout the city. But we do also know the events that the community does want to foster and where they want to foster it at. They value community events like the Promenade. They value community events like the Normandy Fountain. They value community events like South Beach Jazz and the activations on Lincoln Road that the BID does, and what Ray does at Collins Park. And I think if we direct our presenter funding towards those organizations, we're setting a clear policy of the type of events we want, the areas we want them in, as we also maybe divest of some of the other larger special events that we may be wanting to move away from. Thank you.
And Mayor, I would thank you, Commissioner. Mayor, I agree that we should have a more formal process, because we have cultural partners that don't have permanent their own place, so to speak, right? But I know what's going to happen, because in 4 years, you know, we say every year that we want to get everything in the budget and we're not going to do anything special, and then, you know, then they start coming, and so then we start
blowing the budget, and then are actually I have to go to the money tree and figure out where I'm going to find the money to cover the gap. And
they have a bigger tree, hopefully.
Yeah, I love, exactly. I love that exercise.
Chair?
So go ahead.
It might be recognized.
Yeah, sure.
To Mayor Gelber's point, staff is already working towards that. So in the September 13th commission meeting, we're going to bring to you the special event application process for your review that we are revamping to include identifying tiers of funding for community events that don't necessarily fit the mold of the large-scale events with heads and beds. So we are already working on that, and you're going to see that in September. So that's going to be a process that we're going to start to formalize.
Unless I want to move forward, but unless you guys tell me you really want to put all 250, I want to move 850 to a million. And so that's going to create 100,000 that we're getting ready to spend. Jason.
Thank you. What I might recommend here is, because I know that there are some strings attached, let's say, to certain funding sources such as the CEC. So maybe what would be helpful for us to come back for September is if we get a dollar value or what specific events, and we would come back to see, because they may not be CEC eligible, it might be more resort tax eligible.
What does that mean, strings attached?
Because the CAC has some very specific criteria that some of the organization, the activities that you're speaking of, may not be eligible on that. But we might have another funding source.
I understand, but the point has been made that we have been very, very generous to our cultural partners, and we're going to continue to be generous. I mean, look at what we just did in a cultural bond, right? I mean, it's incredible. And we're the ballet, and this body stepped up twice to fund a funding gap for the project in Collins Park. Remember when we, because of interest rates. So we've been incredibly generous. I want to send a message that these cultural partners that don't have brick and mortar, they're just as important in our city. And I think increasing this fund by 17% in 1 year is very generous. And so everybody smile. Okay, so let's, Jason, let's do that. And then we've got some other items. So I want to go back to
the CAC, we're going to show the recommended enhancement instead of being 250 being 150.
Exactly. And then we're going to take that other 100,000 and you're going to move it over to slide 28, where you've got 600,000 for this is the $1.9 million.
If I may, you're speaking of transferring funds that are from the CAC into the resort tax fund.
Well, is it CAC money or that can only be used there?
Correct. That's where I was speaking of. I think if you give us the list of the organizations or the events, a dollar value, or if you want to do a pool and say let's set aside 250.
Let me ask you this question: can this body? Lissette, you said you're going to bring an item in September. Because right now, it's my understanding that the Ocean Drive and Normandy Fountain wouldn't qualify to make an application to the CAC. Is that right?
Right. You need to be a 501c3 arts nonprofit, which they are not.
Yeah.
So the item that we are going to bring to you is revamping the special event application process, the sponsorship process. However, I do want to say that right now, that fund only has 400,000, so if we're going to add these other organizations, we would need to add a little bit more funding for that. So that's an opportunity to kind of...
So is your change going to allow somebody like the Ocean Drive Association to apply?
Yes.
To the CAC?
No. To the special event sponsorship application process. So that's another process that we have that we started a couple years ago to curb these asks that were coming directly to the commission.
So you're saying I can't take the 100,000, I can't, because it's already CAC money, I can't move that, and so I can't use that for the Ocean Drive, I can't use that for Normandy Fountain, I can't use that for the Jazz Festival?
That's correct. So the funds that you're trying to set aside have to remain in the CAC fund. The 1.3 that we're going to go back to look at is resort tax dollars right now. So if you do want to set aside funds, you could reduce the 1.3 to allocate for those specific organizations.
Would the South Beach Jazz Festival, they qualify for the CAC, right?
Yes.
Can this body direct a certain amount of dollars, or is that left to the CAC?
I don't believe so, because the CAC, the council, they spend, you know, since from January through June, going through a very rigorous process of interviewing all the applicants and scoring all the applications.
See, this is the problem, though.
Mr. Chair, though, I don't want to speak for the city attorney, but I believe that when that recommendation comes before you, this body has the authority to amend the recommendation as long as it fits the criteria established by resolution. Okay. So I think you can, but okay, again, I'm not the attorney.
So I'm not going to put them on the spot, but this is one item that, all right, let's do this. Let's add this to my very, very short list of additional things we're going to follow up on because I think we've all talked about Ocean Drive. I think that's around 100,000. We've talked about
Normandy,
and which is 35 now, but remember we gave them 25, so we need to add another 25 there. So that's 100 plus 25. Jazz, South Beach Jazz, I think, has made a request for 50. So, Lori, can you come up a minute? I want to ask a couple of questions. Did you make, have you applied, have filled out an application for the CAC?
Yes. So we receive and apply for CAC every year, and we always are in a top scoring in that category. We have, since the beginning of the festival, next January will be the 8th annual, we have received CAC and city sponsorship money. They're two separate funding pockets for us, and we match both those pockets. So, for instance, to Lisette's point, $20,000 is the max we can get under CAC, and we were in the top two or three scoring, but our number will be around 16 for that. Our city sponsorship is separate. It used to be funded first through the accessibility funding because we were a disability access in the arts organization. Then that went to city budget. Then beginning last year, we did, we got 29.5. We did go through the new process that Lisette's department created, which we supported. What we found is it has a, I believe, 1,500 heads and bends requirement now, which I think is one of the things they're working on. So with meeting with staff, it was determined our city sponsorship, we actually should come this route because we, as a nonprofit, 4-day, mostly free. We had 18 events last year.
So how much have you found out what you're going to be approved for the next through the CAC?
16.
16.
Uh-huh.
And you've made a request for 50? So you need you need the difference.
No,
you need 50.
I need 50. Our budget's 270,000. I mean, we raise most of our money. The county gives us money. The state of Florida gives us money. Private industry gives us money. We are not eligible for VCA. That's why we do CAC. They're two different pockets. One or the other.
Okay, so, and we think that when this item comes in September, and if this body amends it, then that we would be able to take this additional funding out of the CAC budget, or no?
I don't believe that was the intention, but my understanding is that since the Jazz Festival is a 501(c), they would be eligible for it. So I know that the original recommendation from the administration was for 250. We talked about 150. I'm not sure if to get back to the 250, it would be 200 for the pool and 50 as a specific recommendation.
Okay, so that's the item we're going to put as an open, and now I've got three things that are going to come back September 13th. I think we are all three discussion items that we need to finalize, but I think this body wants to see $100,000 included in the budget for the Ocean Drive. We want to see an additional $25,000 added to the $35,000 that's already there for Normandy, and we want to see $50,000 added for Jazz Festival.
And if I may,
Chair, if I may, I would like for the administration to reach out also to Collins Park and to Lincoln Road, because they both also do activations that are important for our community. And so I would, you know, I think in general, I think it's a good policy position for us to be in, because this is where we're going to be focusing these activities. So with those three, Collins Park and Lincoln
Road. And I'm trying to deal with this as part of the budget cycle as opposed to coming mid-year and then having to go to the money tree.
Go ahead, Mayor. And let me just also put a refine a little bit what I said earlier. It's not really the process is great, but I think that for the places that we know are good at what they do, we've got to make it clear to them that they're part of our cycle every year. In other words, it shouldn't be them coming here and then you deciding this. They should just know. If we know that David Sexton and his group have been terrific at programming the fountain, well, that's gold in my mind, because we would find some group that came in here we didn't know and they'd convince us and then it would fail and whatever. This is a center of excellence in my mind, as is the Promenade, as is Ray's, what he's doing, as is Lori's group. These are our centers of cultural excellence who don't have brick and mortar. So they should be part of this process. They should get their money. They should expect it, because it's not a favor we're doing them. It's a favor they're doing our community. And so I want them to know that this is going to be what they're going to get. And if they need more, well, then that's the discussion you have with the finance chair. Or if they need something because there's some opportunity, well, that's something you have. But they should know that they should be confident that they have the funds for this, because, frankly, we're lucky to have people like that in our community. And they shouldn't, you know, like I mean, it's really amazing, seriously, Lori, what you and David do. So my mind is, let's make sure that they don't freak out. And if they want to grow it, which is what I think you like to do, well, then that's the discussions you have every year, not, yeah. You know, and I think we should agree.
I totally agree with you, because they shouldn't have to have this anxiety of every year whether or not they're going to have their programming when they're an important part of our community. So let's...
I want to clarify, if I may.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is the OD at 100... the Normandy additional 25 and the Jazz at additional 50 would like to be set up as a recurring expenditure, and that we'll find the appropriate funding source from it. The Jazz may be eligible to have a carve out of the 50 of the 250. If not, we'll come back with that, and the others we'll find the appropriate. And I think made those notes.
Yeah. So you could. So for example, and that's on September 13th. You can brief us. Just find the bucket. If I can take the money for the South Beach Jazz out of CAC. I prefer, but if you tell me that you can't do that, then maybe Lisette gets a bigger smile, because we go ahead and put the 250 there, and then we have to take it all out of the 1.3. Okay, but you'll brief us on that.
Yeah, I have good
But
notes,
if there's a
we'll
way
there.
To take it out of the CAC, I would rather do that, because understood. I would rather leave more money in the bucket of the 1.3. And I just want to ask you, Madam Manager, this is back on that item. I think it's slide 28.
Mr. Chair, just because the CFO mentioned that the three organizations, and let's include in their pleas, the body agrees, Collins Park, to reach out to Collins Park to see what their need may be, as well as Lincoln Road Bid, because they also are presenters who regularly are presenting in our public spaces.
We'll reach out to them and let's find out. I think, for example, Collins Park gets some funding through Parks and Recs to do some of their festivals, because they're a different type of thing. But let's reach out and ask that question.
Because they're planning also like they're doing the New Year's Eve concert that they're reinstating after a number of years and that type of stuff. So if we could please reach out and brief us at the right time. Okay. I greatly appreciate it.
We'll come back. We're going to need to know on September 13th. So in addition to those three, let's check with Collins Park. Let's see if there's any need on Lincoln Road so we can build it into the budget.
Got it.
And so, and then, Madam Manager, I want to go back to this slide on, it's slide 28. I don't know if it's slide 28 on yours. It's where we had the $1.3 million holding for community events unrelated to spring break, because this body's decided we're not doing that. This is just other stuff that I understand. And then, $600,000 for Alpha Bravo, and I just want to focus on that, because I think at the last meeting I had a preliminary number of 1.6. But so is $600,000 going to give you what you need for Alpha Bravo for those 2 weekends?
$600,000 is over and above what we already fund for additional services in the police department during March.
Okay,
so
we're good then, and the body had decided back in June that we want to do this. So the 1.3 bucket is your kind of
that plug. I would use an example of it's the balancing of the scale.
Yeah.
So if some of these events end up here, we'll probably reduce that 1.3 to 1.something.
That's
and you would see these items added in, and
that's exactly right.
More likely you'll see coming back.
again, just to be perfectly clear and very transparent, at the last spring break workshop, there was still conversation left open-ended about a fenced-in event. There's a delegation of conversation to the police advisory group, and we've had our first very preliminary conversation, and, you know, there may be something that comes out of that group that's tied to some kind of an event. I'm not sure. I don't know what will come out of that group. And apart from that, there's also, you know, there are needs associated. We had a conversation about volleyball and whether we wanted Miami Beach to be the destination of professional and Olympic volleyball, and they do have an interest in coming other times of the year. We talked about the fact that they would not come if we did not have any type of a funding source for a subsidy like we've subsidized them in the past. So that
so 1.3
was put there.
So, Madam Manager, I think what's going to happen is after we adopt the budget in September, you're still going to have, there will be, not you, there will be a bucket of probably 1.1, 1.2 million that the sitting body will decide if they want to do something with volleyball or the sports event that was on the last weekend. So that money will be a placeholder in the budget.
Mr. Chair,
Fernandez, you're recognized.
Thank you. What I would like to make sure is, because everything is about how it's presented.
Yeah.
My fear is that in this slide, that this $1.3 million presented under March 2024 enhancements. And that creates a perception and an expectation, and it almost sets the stage that we're going to invest these $1.3 million in large-scale community event funds in March of 2024. And I don't, that's not the policy decision I want to be doing right now, because I don't think that is in the best interest of the public safety of the residents and visitors and businesses.
Mr. Chair, I would say that you're spot on in the slide should say 2024 enhancements, and then the first item would be used at any time during the fiscal year. The second item is specific to March. And so,
and you're 100% correct. I mean, that public safety funding, Mr. Chair, thank you for that, because you're right. That public safety funding for enhanced police and public safety, Mr. Chair, thank you for fighting for that, for getting that enhancement there. On the 1.3, I agree with you. It's better just to leave it as a general allocation for the 12 months out of the year and not specify March, because that is a much bigger policy decision that we've got to leave to the governing body.
Okay, I got a couple other items that hopefully we can move quickly on. PAL and the fire program. So I want to move them in the budget to the amount that we're currently at so they don't have to come back again. And that's probably going to mean adding another 30, 40, 50,000, right?
It's 71,000. So PAL, right now we have 67 in the budget. We added 51 mid-year.
Yeah.
And then PAL also asked for a STEAM program for 10,000. And then the fire program is a life safety institute for 10,000.
Yeah, but what is the second piece of the PAL? Because I don't think I know.
So there was a STEAM program that was presented at a FERC meeting. So there's a request for $10,000 for.
That was approved.
That was the special program that was done this year with Jonathan.
It wasn't done. It was this. The special programming that was done this year was additional counselor and training, $51,000. So that was approved. We did a budget amendment. The PAL STEAM program came as an ask. I believe it was at the last FERC, and they said, okay, we'll discuss it in the budget process. So that would be an additional $10,000. So between the two, it would be $61,000.
And then I'm not sure if your request is really on the – I think your request was maybe on that first one, which went through FERC and was funded in 23.
Yeah. The other $10,000
wasn't funded.
We didn't fund, but I'm not opposed to that. So, and then fire had 10 or 15?
10.
10. So all in, that's what, about 100?
It's 71.
71. So members, are we okay with that? Okay. So you'll incorporate that as part of the next budget. Then I have one other item that I want to bring up, and that is there was an item that we talked about in, I think it was a referral to FERC, about putting a permit ombudsman in the manager's office as part of his neighborhood outreach, because we're getting so many calls to run down why permits are not getting processed and so forth. And so I had made a proposal to create an ombudsman that our aides can then refer, because our aides are spending a lot of time trying to figure out why permanent, whether things caught up. So I don't know how you all feel about that, but I would really like to fund this ombudsman in the city manager's office as part of the neighborhood outreach.
Mr. Chair, such a good point. Such a good point. One of the greatest challenges in our city is that it's hurting our small businesses. It's hurting our economy. Some businesses don't even open because they can't even get their permit. So I completely support you in that. You know, and especially given the very limited staff in the building department, maybe this helps facilitate the process a little bit. So
is there
absolutely.
Any? Absolutely.
It's $82,000 in the first year.
I support it. Okay, great. So let's incorporate that. That will take, and again, that'll just reduce that bucket down to whatever it is, 1.1 or 1. Okay? And then I didn't have any other open items. So, members, if you do, go ahead, Mayor.
Disco Inferno.
What's that?
Oasis. Disco Oasis.
That's for.
I know it's for them. I just wanted to raise it for next week.
I don't know anything.
Mario Rogers has reached out or should be reaching out to everyone on the commission, and it's for a program.
Now Rogers reached out to everyone on the commission, and it's for a Disco Oasis program that he's done in two cities already, Los Angeles and New York, with a lot of success. What he's going to present is what Disco Oasis entails, when it will happen, and also a New Year's concert that he'd like to put together.
He's got some programming. I just urge everybody to take the meeting with him.
I certainly take a meeting, and if the body decides to move forward, there will be about $1 or $1.1 million of. Okay, great. Commissioner Fernandez, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the things we've discussed in the Public Safety and Neighborhood Quality of Life Committee is how we get ahead of some of the complaints that make their way into our offices that then we share with the manager's office, with her neighborhood affairs team. You know, sometimes it's issues of like an overflowing trash can that's been overflowing for a couple of weeks and for some reason it's gone unnoticed, or why a water fountain hasn't been working for a few weeks, or an area of our city that might need a little bit more attention in sanitation, or an issue with a pothole, or that type of stuff. Getting ahead of some of these things before our resident gets it, so that we are less reactive and more proactive as a government. I've had some limited conversations with the city manager about this, and some limited conversations with the CFO about this, in addition to some of the conversations we've had at the Public Safety Committee. I'd like to suggest that under the house of the city manager's office and Kevin Polito's team as well, that we look at having an on-street neighborhood manager. So that these are eyes and ears on the street under the city manager's office, looking at our communities from the perspective of all departments, from the perspective of sanitation, from the perspective of code enforcement, from the perspective of parking, from the perspective of whatever other of parks, of any other issue, so that by the time morning comes around, there's been someone that's walked the streets of Miami Beach and caught the issues that then later on the city manager and her team are having to react to because a resident had to be the one to catch it and email it to us. Or before, you know, nighttime comes around and the city gets busy, you know, have this person go around and check these areas. Some of our bids have done this in the past and it's been quite successful. And I'd like for the city manager to look into it, ask her to look into it and come back to us in September with any suggestions she may have regarding this, if you all agree.
Okay, so let's put that on your plate, Madam Manager. We'll add that to 4 items that we're going to come back September, and you can give us a recommendation.
Happy to look at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can always use more resource. Everyone in this room needs more resource and more eyes. And more people.
Go ahead, Commissioner Dominguez.
Yeah, I agree that we can definitely use more resources. And I was meeting with one of the commission candidates this week who put mentioned that same idea. But anyway, what I wanted to comment on is maybe a reminder to the community about the eGov app. And I can't tell you how many times I see something on social media or while I'm talking to somebody out in the community. And my first question is, when they complain to me, is, did you put it in the eGov app? And a lot of them don't even know what it is. So maybe another campaign reminding people about the eGov app and how to use it, and because there's accountability there and things get addressed.
Yeah, thank you. And we actually have a refresh of the eGov app underway currently, so that's a great idea. We do monitor social media, and we do make sure that anything that we see on social media gets addressed. Some of you share those in the resident groups, for example, that for whatever reason we don't have access to, and we appreciate that because we do like to address everything immediately.
Okay, great. And then I want to go back to the permit ombudsman because there was funding, but, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking, I think we can fund that partially out of the building department.
That's correct.
State law.
So when we come back in September, we'll come up with the per ratio.
Yeah, so I think that this position is not in the building department because our permits cover across, and that's why it's in the city manager's. But state law allows for those permit fees, at least the piece related to building. So you guys come back, because I don't think we need the full whatever the number of that. You come back and tell us about that. So here's my list that I've got for your homework for September 13th. Fire is going to come back and give us an additional explanation on those two positions so that we can better understand that. You're going to come back with recommendations on the CAP program, and we've got a funding hold right now. We're going to talk 1099 versus employee. You're going to come back item number 3 and talk to us about the cultural funding and what can we do out of the CAC, and we'll make a decision at that time if it's going to be 250 or 150, and you've got 5 different cultural organizations you're going to be looking at, and you've got guidance from this body on that. And then you're going to number 4. Madam Manager is going to come back with a recommendation if we need to be doing something more on this proactive. And then number 5 is you'll tell us on the building, on the ombudsman, how much money you really need versus full. Those are the 5 things I have on my list. And so do you feel like you have everything you need from this body so that you can work over the August break and bring back something with a pretty beautiful little bow on it on September 13th?
We do.
Yes.
We do.
Just to clarify, on the Disc Oasis, we will wait for commission to give us direction on that.
Exactly. Okay. Because some of us haven't even met. We know that there's going to be a bucket of money that will be in the neighborhood of $1 million to $1.2, I'm guessing. That'll be a hold there for this body or a future body to make a decision on community events. And you can update your slide to take off the word March because those are community events throughout the year.
Correct.
Okay.
All right.
We got it. Thank you.
All right. You have everything you need?
Just to go through next steps, just to show the dates, if I may, just for the public. So the presentation up very quickly. I just want to run through this just to remind everybody. So next week at the commission meeting, there'll be the resolution to approve the final maximum millage that'll go on the property appraiser trim notice for August. It appears that next Friday will be a regular FERC meeting. We will not need to have the whole commission there, so we will release the rest of the commission from your calendar, including the briefings that are on your calendar, so we'll get those dropped off. In August, we prep the final preliminary budget. We'll get that out, and then we have our first public hearing on the 13th, second and final public hearing on the 27th.
And you'll be ready on the 13th with the 5 open items that we've mentioned to you. And then I would just ask the clerk, is there anything that we need to do on the public notice for the FERC meeting that we will have on the 28th? Because it will not be a budget meeting. It will be a regular FERC meeting.
The newspaper ad has already gone out, so what we'll do is we'll put it on the website, bulletin boards, and the calendar.
Okay, great. All right. And you have everything you need, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't see anything else with that. I appreciate the members and also all the staff for being here. And we'll see you. If you're not going to see you later this month, we'll see you in September. Thank you.
Good job, Mr. Chair.
We're adjourned.
Good job.